following is a KVON Sports presentation. It's a Football Friday from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. It's high school football. The Napa High Indians hosting the Rockland Thunder. It's high school football coming your way in just a moment. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome into tonight's broadcast. Wherever you're listening, we welcome you to our coverage of high school football action. Tonight, the Napa High Indians bring an 0-1 record against the Rockland Thunder, a team that is 1-0. Last year, Napa had a 7-4 overall record, while Rockland was 4-6. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we're joined tonight by Kent Fry with his color commentary.
Well, Ira, it's going to be a scorcher out there, if you will. It is hot and dry, and even a little humidity sitting in. But, you know, the kids need to stay well hydrated. And, boy, you think Napa High had a big test last week against Pittman. They have a tougher test this week against Rockland, who plays in a very tough league up there. So how will Napa respond? That's going to be the question that's going to be answered tonight, Ira. I'm anxious to see a great football. And Napa's offense last week just sputtered all night long while their defense played extremely well. So I'm sure Coach Chuy Martinez is going to want to see a much more balanced attack from his Napa High Indians.
And seeing the ball game from the sideline will be Jacob Grant.
Hi, Ira. It's good to be back this Friday. I hope my microphone works this time.
So far, so good. And our statistician extraordinaire, Dino Alessio.
I would just say statistician ordinaire. I don't think I'm extraordinaire. But I've got all my pencils ready to go, and I'm looking forward to wearing out several of them. We had a sort of a defensive struggle last week, or at least not a lot of scoring. And I think we might see a little more scoring tonight. As Kent said, it's going to be key for the players to stay hydrated. They should probably maybe even be eating some bananas or taking some salt tablets to avoid cramping. But they certainly, if they can avoid cramping, they should have no problem getting their muscles loose in this warm weather. And looking forward to a good performance by Napa. They had four turnovers in the game last week, two fumbles lost and two interceptions. And I think if they can avoid those turnovers, they have a great chance to be competitive against this tough, tough team from Rockland. So we're listening to the Napa band serenading the Indians as they warm up before the game. Always a great sight and sound to see the band. And I'll hand it back over to you, Ira.
Well, the band is attired in shorts tonight, short-sleeve shirts, and they look a bit cool out there even on a hot night.
I tell you, they wouldn't want to be in those full-dress uniforms that they wear. So good call, just, you know, the T-shirts and shorts for the band members.
Mike Riando is back in his ninth year as the band director. Thomas Sims is in his first year as athletic director at Napa High. Holly Schmidt in her 26th year as director of the Napa High Spirit Leaders. Annie Petrie is in her third year as principal. And the Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center, at least 44 years of giving, donating their time and services on the sideline in case there is an injured player.
Rob Brandon, Bruce McCall, and even though Glenn Hughes is not there, I still say Glenn Hughes.
Yeah.
Napa Valley Physical Therapy, the best.
Well, let's take a closer look now at tonight's game. Then we'll hear from the coaches. Jesus Chuy Martinez, who graduated from Napa High in 2004, is in his first year as the head coach. But what a team they had back in 2003 football season. Thomas Sims, Mike Gibson, and a few of the others that were outstanding football players. And Greg Benzel over at Rockland High has been there since there's been a school there. The school opened 25 years ago, and Greg came on the freshman staff at that time and worked his way up as the head football coach and has done a great job in a very competitive league, as Kent Fry alluded to earlier.
What a league it is, too, Ira. I know you're going to mention the teams, but a little side note on Coach Greg Benzel. Played Sac State football with former Vintage High star standout, the fast, mobile back, number 23, Steve Bucciolato.
Yeah, Steve Bucciolato is an outstanding running back for the Vintage Crushers. Well, who are some of those teams in this league, Foothill League?
I tell you, Rockland, you have Nevada Union in Rockland and Wood Creek. But, boy, does it get tough after that, Ira. Granite Bay, Del Oro, Oak Ridge, and Folsom.
Wow.
What a powerhouse lineup that
Absolutely. Wow, well, that is some lineup. We'll hear from the coaches in just a moment as we continue our countdown to kickoff. Well, coming into tonight, Napa High is 0-1, losing last Friday night to Pittman of Turlock 16-0, a game that we broadcast. While it was Rockland over a very powerful football team in Grant of Sacramento, 24-14. These two teams played last year over in Rockland, and the Thunder defeated the Napa High Indians 28-16 was the final there. So let's find out about this year's squad from Greg Benzel. As we mentioned, he is the long-term coach there at Rockland High School.
Well, Coach, what a tenure you've had there since the school started, and what was your assignment when they had a high school there in Rockland?
Well, it was kind of a unique situation because it's a brand-new school, so we just started with freshmen. So I was the running back coach at that time at the freshman level, and then when those freshmen became JVs, then I became the head freshman coach the following year, and then when those JVs became varsity, and then I was the head JV coach. And then over time, we got to the year 2000. The school opened in 1993. We got to the year 2000, and then the position opened to be a head coach, and we decided to go ahead and make that commitment. So,
yeah. What a tenure there at the school. And what can you tell us about this league? It looks to be a very tough league.
You're referring to the SFL, correct?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's a meat grinder. We feel very fortunate to be a part of a tremendous league that has tremendous coaching, very fundamental players, very athletic players. And those teams, you know, if you really did some research, every team in that league has been to the state championship game, and a few of them have won it.
Yeah. Folsom seems like year after year, they're right up there.
Yes, and they are. Oak Ridge is right there. They haven't gone to the state championship game. However, they've been in the section championship a number of times. And, of course, you know, Granite Bay has won it. Del Oro has won it. We've been there. We haven't won it. So, you know, it's a whole host of guys that are of teams that have been there. So it's pretty good resume.
Absolutely. What do you do when it comes to finding non-league opponents for the early games?
Well, that's why we schedule programs like Napa, and you know, we played Grant last week, and we like traditional teams that have done well and have been playoff contenders year in and year out, and so we're looking forward to the opportunity tonight to play Napa.
You had a quarterback, I think, Mickey Nolan, last year that was injured early in the season, in fact, after the Napa game. But, boy, did you come up with a good replacement.
Yeah, you know, Cade Wyant, you know, just kind of had a tough situation where he had to come up and play quarterback as a sophomore. He probably wasn't ready, you know, but the experience that he gained last year really has sharpened his skills this year. So he has high expectations for himself, and we're excited that he's got a year under his belt.
He has a twin. Are they comparable?
Oh, yeah. No, Cole is – both of them are very physical. You talk about a quarterback being kind of a prima donna. That would be out of these guys' realm of vocabulary. I mean, they're very physical. Cole plays a linebacker and also is in our backfield, a fullback position. And Cade will lower his shoulder anytime as a quarterback.
You probably saw a lot of traffic on your way here on Highway 80.
You know, it wasn't too bad. We left early enough and so that we were able to get here probably about, I don't know, just before 5. So we were over at a pizza place for about an hour in the cool air, and then we just came here so that way we wouldn't be sitting in traffic.
Wow. But the traffic, most of it was heading the opposite direction from you.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And if we'd have left a half hour later, we'd probably still be sitting in traffic. So we timed it right.
And those are the comments from Greg Benzel. I heard some people allude to him as Coach Ben. So he's got some nicknames over there, usually indicating they're doing well. And Max Prep, in their ratings of Northern California schools, has Rockland number 26 in Northern California. And in number 27 spot is Vacaville. So the Bulldogs are up here. Napa is not listed.
Well, you know, rightfully so right now, Ira. That's just the way it is right now. And but, you know, Napa hopes to rebound and climb up those in the rankings as well. But what a great tradition this Rockland team has in just a short amount of time that they've existed. And Coach Benzel's done a great job. I like what Dino alluded to in that, you know, the survivor of this league, you know, could have a literally a 7-3, a 6-4 record, and that record would not indicate how poorly they played, but how well they played, just because of the toughness of the league.
Well, let's find out what Jesus Chuy Martinez, the head coach at Napa High, has to say about his team as they enter in week number two.
Well, Chuy, first of all, your thoughts after your initial game last week?
Well, it was started off a little shaky there. But our defense, you know, kept us in the game the whole time, you know, gave us plenty of opportunities to score, stay in the game, and get ahead. And we just made mental mistakes. But this week we've cleaned them up, and it was just a good week, you know.
Well, we're going into a game that has a lot of heat put to it, and I mean that in a literal sense. How are you handling that?
Well, we've been practicing hard. You know, we've been on the kids all week about staying hydrated, and we rested him a little bit on Thursday. We had an indoor practice to get him out of the heat a little bit. Hopefully that helps a little bit. And we've just been making sure they've been staying hydrated all week.
What have you been most pleased about so far?
I think that just the overall, the way they've stuck together, you know, even being down right at the opening kickoff, you know, if there's something that kind of deflates you in football, if you give something like that up, the way that they just kept on supporting each other and kept fighting through that big play. You know, they were never on each other in a negative way. They just kept pushing each other and kept motivating each other.
I noted that when Isaiah Newton came out of the lineup as your quarterback, that later when we saw him on defense, he had his right hand heavily taped.
Yeah, he took in the second quarter, he had a nice run. He took a face mask right to right to his wrist that he had injured in the summer, so it kind of irritated it again, and he wasn't able to take any more snaps.
Mm-hmm. Got a little contusion there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you know about the team that you're playing tonight?
They're rocking football. You know, they're strong on the offensive line. They have a couple of really solid running backs that run the ball really hard. The quarterback is a really good pocket passer. You know, he picked apart Grant High School last week. And on the defensive side, you know, they're athletic and they come after you. So,
yeah. In fact, last year as a sophomore, he got a lot of action the last seven games of the season, passing for over 1,000 yards in just those seven games.
Yeah, he's like I said, he's a good athlete, you know, and it's very rarely do you see a quarterback like that in high school.
Are you going to have many doing a rush on him?
We'll be trying to get in there, get a little pressure on him, get the ball out early.
Mm-hmm. And what did you stress this weekend as far as practice?
Just fundamentals, you know, getting rid of the mental mistakes and making sure that we don't beat ourselves. I think, like I told the kids at the end of last week, you know, we beat ourselves. You know, we didn't lose to the other team because they beat us. We just made too many mistakes, and those are mistakes that we can't have this week. And we've been on them about ball security this week. So it's just protecting the football.
Many changes in that starting lineup?
Nope, not many. You know, we're going with the guys that have been putting in work.
And those the comments of first-year coach Jesus Chuy Martinez, band playing in the background here at Memorial Stadium. This is the eighth year for this beautiful stadium, and what nice, favorable comments we receive from opposing coaches and players when we go down on the field prior to our pregame warm-up.
Absolutely, Ira. Even Coach Ben when I was talking to him before the game, you know, one of his first comments is what a great job they did with the stadium. And, you know, from one who has played and coached in the old Napa High, Napa Memorial Stadium, there, that memory will always burn deep in my heart. But I got to tell you, this stadium is unbelievable for a high school venue. They have done an excellent job. And Don Evans, thank you. That was long in coming.
Say this is the eighth year and we're still talking about it, but yep. The old Memorial Stadium was around for some 59 years. In the past, we've had Mark McLeod as our sideline reporter, and earlier tonight we introduced Jacob Grant as far as being on the sideline reporter, but we didn't give any information about him. So let's go to Jacob Grant, and Jacob, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I was born and raised here in Napa. I went to Napa High. I graduated in 2017. I'm a big sports fan. I like the Raiders, the A's, and the New York Islanders, and the Golden State Warriors, for a matter of fact. You can't not like them around here anymore. I'm looking forward to a good game for Napa tonight.
Well, Napa's a three-time defending MEL champion, and this is the final year for the MEL. And as we had told you last week, there will be a new league with seven teams, including Napa High, Vintage High School of Napa, American Canyon, Casa Grande and Petaluma High School, Sonoma Valley, and Justin Siena. So most of our broadcast of high school football next year will be right here in this area.
And it's going to be fun to see the local teams battle it out with each other. You talk about bragging rights. You know, we've had the Napa Vintage bragging rights, which we always will, but now we get Justin and American Canyon in the mix. Oh, that's going to be fun.
And they could send several teams into the section playoffs, too. If Justin has just a typical type year, they could make it in one division. Napa or Vintage could make it in another division. American Canyon could make it into another division.
Well, that's where Dino, our extraordinaire statistician, will come into play, Ira, you know, because keeping track of all these different situations and scenarios, that's going to take somebody special to do that.
Well, I just think it's going to be wild because, you know, every year we think about Napa Vintage as big game. With this new setup, we're going to have a big game every week.
Absolutely.
I mean, once the league schedule starts, every week there's going to be a big rivalry game, either a geographic rivalry or just some sort of a big game between these various teams.
And that means that Justin Siena will be bowing out of the MCAL, leaving them with nine schools.
Yeah, and of course, not all the schools in the MCAL play every sport. For example, the Branson School didn't have a football team at all until last year, and then they started playing eight-man football, and that's probably what you would expect. I don't with their size student body, I don't know that Branson would ever field an 11-man football team, but the MCAL is a great league, particularly in basketball. I've always found it to be very exciting and competitive. But Justin's had some really great football teams, and I think they'll do well in this new league, as yet unnamed, that's going to start playing next year.
Well, we'll know officially on October the 3rd. That's when the Board of Managers will be voting. And I talked to the commissioner of the league. He said that he expects it to be a unanimous vote. He says he sees no roadblocks, and it should go through. We'll be back and continue with our countdown to kickoff in a moment as we await the start of the Thunder and the Indians. Well, here we go. Another night for another football game, but... Kent Fry, it's just not another night.
Well, it's not another night, Ira. It's going to be a fun night, as always. On Friday night football on the high school level is so much fun to see. And again, I'm just anxious to see how Napa responds after last week's loss. It was a put a point blankly. It was an ugly loss. I like what Chewy said. They basically shot themselves in the foot and beat themselves, in which they did. Their defense, I was so impressed with the way their defense played. If they can keep that same intensity on their defensive level and get their offense clicking, I think that's we're going to see a much better performance, even though I think we're going to see a better opponent than we did against Pittman. So I look forward to a pretty good game from the Napa Indians on output and their energy level And like what Chewy said, they got to protect the ball. No turnovers.
Well, we'd like to give special commendations to Robbie Steen and a guy named Troy Mott as they work a lot with the defense. Robbie, the defensive coordinator, for the great job they did last week. Pretty good defensive effort. Chewy is also offensive coordinator. And he's got his brother, who graduated in 2011 from Napa High, Juan Martinez, helping on the staff. Joe Ruffino, boy, it's great having Joe back here because he's had four sons go through the Napa High football program.
It's a traditional name, the Ruffinos in Napa High football. You got to love it.
Justin and Michael, they were twins. I think he graduated in 2008. Then they had Dominic, he graduated in 2014. And last year, Roman Ruffino. So four guys there that have gone on and have done a great job. And I think it's good, too, whenever they can get Mike Gibson to help him out or come into a practice or something. Here's a guy that played at Cal, went on and played in the NFL.
Absolutely. You know, Mikey is, boy, I remember him as a little kid, Ira, and just watching him grow up and have a successful career, and just his knowledge alone is a great benefit to those young kids out there. And I'll tell you, another great asset Napa High has is with Thomas Sims, their AD. Thomas is another player who played in the collegiate level and still in great shape and just, you know, was their strength coach for many years. And Thomas knows his football inside and out. So even though he's the AD doing a lot of administrative duties that I'm sure Thomas doesn't really like to do, I can't wait to get him on the radio show in October. But just another asset, Mike Gibson, Thomas Sims as examples right there, along, of course, with Troy Mott. You just can't go wrong with those three.
And on the opposite side of the field, the assistant coach is Drew Wyant, who was an outstanding athlete at Vacaville High School, and we remember that name. And he has the twin sons that we'll be hearing a lot about tonight, Cade Wyant and Cole Wyant. Cade being the starting quarterback as a junior, and Cole getting started as usually an outside linebacker, although they can also use him as a middle linebacker. Others on Coach Benzel's varsity staff: Jason Adams is the defensive coordinator. Matt Ekman works with the offensive line. And Chris Likas is a guy that helps with the defensive backfields. They've got some good staff members there.
And Ira, there's nothing like having a great, solid coaching staff. That's key in high school levels. When you have tradition and great, solid coaching staff, it just makes a big difference.
Well, there's some other games of interest around the area tonight. For example, the Vintage Chryslers are opening the season. They're at American Canyon. Hopefully, we can get some updates on scores of that game, the Chryslers and the Wolves. Justin Siena was slated to play at San Francisco Sacred Heart Cathedral, and we did not hear if that game is taking place or not, but they did not have school at Justin Siena today. So sometimes when they do not have school, they will not have the athletics end later in the evening. But I don't know what transpired there. St. Helena also has a late starting time. They moved the JV game back to 6. And originally there was to be a JV game here, but that game was canceled. And they just set it up for a single matchup between the varsity teams, and hopefully it'll be cooling down a bit. Let's check with our weather reporter here about the weather conditions.
Well, it doesn't look as bad as what I had heard. I had checked the Weather Channel earlier, and they projected it would be 91 degrees at 8 o'clock, which is our scheduled kickoff time. But I don't know, it feels a little cooler than 91 degrees to me. Wouldn't you say, Kent, that it's more like around 80?
Well, I tell you, this box, press box, feels like about 91, but it's a little cooler than 90. You're absolutely right.
So those are some other games, and tomorrow, I'm not sure what's happening to Calistoga. They're supposed to play at Layton, at Loyalton, and that's a 1 o'clock scheduled game. So,
what a bus trip that's going to be, Ira. That's a long bus ride for them.
And whether or not they play the game, because with that heat and all in the middle part of the day. So there could be changes, as we have witnessed for tonight's contest. Well, the Napa Indians, located on the opposite side of our stadium viewing point, we're on the west side at the 50-yard line, and the Napa Indian stadium crowd is on the east side, and the Napa Indians will be in their navy jerseys with large white numerals and white football pants, while the team from Rockland will have royal blue pants. They have white jerseys and large royal blue numerals. Their helmets are silver, sort of like the Dallas Cowboys with that blue streak down the center of it. And their school colors are royal blue and silver. Dino's checking now as they're ready for the flip of the coin. We will stay with it here as Dino will observe what is taking place, and we'll let you know what's going to be happening here in just a few moments as the kickoff is upcoming here at Napa's Memorial Stadium. There is the toss in the air, and it is being called by Rockland, and we'll go to Dino.
Okay, so Rockland is giving the referee their selection, and we're just waiting for him, for everybody to sort of shuffle around here, and so we can see who's kicking off and in which direction. Okay, so it looks like Rockland has deferred to the second half. So now it's up to Napa to decide. And in a situation like this, I'm sure they'll choose to receive the ball. And it appears that Rockland is going to be kicking off. Napa is going to be receiving. And Napa is going to be going from south to north, or from right to left on your radio dial in this first quarter, Ira.
And the officials assigned to tonight's game are Ray Pulley. He's the referee. Tony Karbowski is the umpire. Dirk Pearson is the head linesman. Maurice Smith, the line judge. And Barrett Cox is the back judge. As the Napa High marching band coming onto the field from the south end zone. They'll be getting set up here in just a moment for the playing of our national anthem, and we'll be getting set up here for the start of our broadcast here of high school football, week number two. Some other games tonight. Vacaville is at home to Oak Ridge, and it is Vanden hosting Rodriguez. Wilsey Wood is at River Valley. But the athletic director, Wilsey Wood, is with us tonight because he is related to the Twins. Mark Waddell will be our halftime guest for us on the break here before the start of the second half. And last week, the game that we broadcast, Pittman defeated Napa 16-0. Vacaville defeated Liberty 52-42. Wilsey Wood over Concord 49-12. Vallejo shut out Armio 26-0. We'll be back with the kickoff in just a moment as we continue that countdown to kickoff. You're in tune with KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. We have Jacob Grant situated on the sideline. Dino Alessio's got those pencils all ready to go. Charles Kennedy, our engineer. And before the opening kickoff, let's check out the microphone as we again go down to the sideline to hear from Jacob Grant.
Can you hear it now?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, okay. I can hear it, too. That's a good sign. It is hot down here.
Well, guess what it is in the booth?
Yeah, you could fry an egg on the turf. It is definitely going to be a hot game tonight for these guys.
One of the things that we noted, they were watering down the field earlier tonight, and so they put quite a bit of water on this synthetic turf they have. Okay, so, Jacob, anytime that you have something to add, just go ahead and let us hear from you as Pierre De Leon is going to be dropping back deep. Look, we've got Sean Madigan with us tonight, and he is dropping back deep there along with PDL. Madigan not suited up last week. He was one of their fine players last year as a junior, and he will be getting a start as a wide receiver, too, and he'll be out there to return. And Dawson Trent's going to be the up guy coming up to about the 20-yard line as PDL and Madigan go back to about the 5-yard line. The officials are set. Ray Pulley blows the whistle, and we're set for the opening kickoff as Richard Purvis approaches the football. His right-footed kick, oh, it's sailing end over end back at the 1-yard line, taken there by PDL. He goes across the 15, out to 20, hit there, dropped back a couple yards back from where he had achieved the 20-yard line, tried to make a little move to his right side and was dropped there. And it's going to be spotted kind of in between at the 19.
Nice open field tackle there by Damiano Pera, number 14.
Christian Sanchez is starting at center. Juan Loyola is the left tackle. Eaton Harrison, the left guard. Eric Castro is the right guard, and Logan Zampa is the right tackle. Cameron Ross is the tight end. We'll give you that backfield in a moment. As it is Caden Curtis taking the snap, handing off. They go over right tackle, or try to, and get short yardage there as Brandon Herter, the ball carrier, just tried to have that line open up a hole for him and able to get just a couple yards. He's in that backfield with Dawson Trent as the fullback. Herter is the tailback. Caden Cortez, the 5'11 senior, getting the start at the quarterback. And Perez de Leon is wide receiver. Madigan coming out to the left side. PDL out to the right side. It's an empty backfield. They look to Madigan and off his fingertips out of bounds. He could not get up high enough to grab that quick pitch there out into the left flat.
Yeah, they ran just five wideouts, basically our empty backfield, like you said. A little stop hitch to Madigan. The ball was just overthrown. Good route, good pattern, just off target.
Looks like they're using, what, a 4-3 defense out there for...
Yeah, it's four-man defensive front, then the two middle backers and the two outside backers are kind of playing against Napa's spread offense, if you will, Ira. So that 4-4, though, they're tough. They're solid.
Yeah, almost the nickel, as you said. So under center this time is Cortez. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff, rolls out to his right, looks, sets, fires, and it's intercepted to the 30-yard line. Back to the right side he comes, to the 29, the 28, and then down shy of the 25-yard line as the pass was intercepted by
Bladen
Brown.
Yep. And Ira, that time Napa ran a little counter play-action pass. Good play-action there. It's just the ball was underthrown. That's on the quarterback right there. Had his open receiver just underthrown.
What great field position for the Thunder to start out as they have it at the Napa 26-yard line going to that south end zone. They have it at the right side hash marks, and they employ two wideouts to the right, two out to the left and a single setback, and the quarterback puts a man in motion and hands off going to the left side is Ruffner. Ruffner is brought down as he crosses the 25. They're going to spot it probably right about the 25. He got just about 1 yard on that opening carry.
Right, Michael Bladius came up there from that outside spot, made a nice tackle, open field tackle, made sure he turned him back inside and then wrapped him up.
So it's going to be second down and 9 to go. We're just underway here in the first quarter. Lining up in the shotgun formation with a single setback behind the quarterback, and that's Brown. There's a pitch out in the right flat. It is incomplete off of Garrett Ruffner's hands and out of bounds.
They tried to set up a little bubble screen out there. He was open. Just dropped pass. Little miscues on both quarterbacks and receivers right now, Ira, both teams. Big play here.
Be interesting to see what they do if they don't get a first down here, because it is third down and they're back at the he hasn't put the ball down. Now he's going to put it down at the 24-yard line. Head lineman getting at assignment and trip set right, single wide left, single setback behind the quarterback who drops back to pass, getting rush, firing. And it's complete at the 20-yard line. And then the tackle was made as Jordan Daniel, a 6'2 senior, made the grab. It was tackled right away.
Oh, Dawson Trent did a great job sniffing that little bubble screen out. And what a big target he is. And Dawson Trent just came up and made that play. Go for it here, Ira. They do have a kicker who can kick it. Richard Purvis can put it out. Let's see what they're going to do here.
Yeah, he was kicking 40-yarders fairly easily in the warm-up. They're going to go for it, though. It's fourth down. And about 5 yards to go. The I formation, the quarterback hands off, and they get inside the 20, down to the 19, the 18, and I don't think he made it as the ball carrier, Richard Purvis, was trying to keep the feet moving, but is unsuccessful in picking up a first down, and Napa's defense held.
I tell you, they just stood him up right there at the line of scrimmage and stalemated him, and Napa's defense is just playing where they left off last week, which was extremely well. Good job, Napa defense.
We were surprised to see a 3-5 type defense, 3-5-3, that started last week on the defense and did a fine job. We have Napa taking over the ball now at their own 18-yard line, sending two wideouts this time to the right side, tight end on the left side, slot on the left side. The handoff goes to Herter, and Herter crosses the 20, gets brought down about the 21 or 22-yard line.
And Ira, that time they just had basically a three receivers, two wideouts with a wing there, and just ran a little zone right, if you will. Guard tackle pulling out there, everybody blocking, and just a nice run by Herter.
All right, we're just underway now, inside of 10 minutes to go, first quarter. Each team has had a possession. Napa turned theirs over on an interception. They get the ball back now, and Cortez takes the snap, hands off, and nothing opening up, but the fullback keeps churning, and Dawson Trent is dropped for no gain on the play. Nice defensing in there by the Thunder.
Well, big test again, Ira, with third and seven, if you will. So Napa's offense needs to get this ball moving.
Well, Cortez has the signal from the sideline, comes into the offensive huddle now. It's third down, about 7 yards to go for a first down. Sending PDL out wide right, tight end on the left side, tight formation there. And they give to the tailback, starting to the outside. He gets to the 25-yard line, to the 26-yard line. Did he get to the 27, which is what he needed for a first down, as Herter is hit and dropped, looked like maybe a yard shy of that first down.
Interesting play call, Ira. They ran into a counter off that after a three-back offense. And, Rockland did the same thing on their third down possession. Looks like Napa's going to set up in a punt formation here, fourth and one.
At least they line up in a punt formation. Caden Cortez drops back inside of his 15-yard line. And the Thunder will send Daniel Roberts back deep, single safety at the 35-yard line in his territory. Cortez may have had that to partially block, and it gets across the 40 and then trickles out of bounds at the 41-yard line.
Ira, you got to credit the Rockland coaching staff on that, but they loaded up on their defensive left side, Napa High's offensive right side. That's where the punter likes to roll out before he puts the ball, and they brought four guys off that edge, and that's where the block was. That's all on game film right there. So you got to credit the coaching staff of Rockland on that play right there.
Well, the ball is at the 41-yard line. Still good field position, as the Thunder and all their offensive plays have been in Napa territory. No score, 7.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Have the quarterback in the shotgun, takes the snap, rolls to his right, gets a good block there as he fires and completes it out into the right flat to Jordan Daniel. Daniel is bounced out of bounds, and as he makes the catch and goes out at the 28-yard line after a 13-yard pickup for Rockland.
Well, that Daniel Jordan, he's a big target, isn't he, Ira?
Yeah.
He's big out there.
He is 6'2", 195 pounds. But it's Jordan Daniel. It's interesting. One roster has last name and then first name, and the other roster has first name and then last name.
Yep.
But some of these names can go either way. Shotgun again, and they snap, and the quarterback's going to keep it this time. Boy, they grab him and bring him back down. That was Cade Wyant. Wyant, the quarterback, is 6'2". He likes the pocket formation. Last week, he was 8 out of 14 in passing for 249 yards and two touchdowns. Last year, he came up to the varsity with 7 games remaining after their quarterback, Mickey Nolan, was injured and out for the season, and then was able to amass over 1,000 yards in passing as a sophomore fill-in. He's there now as the starting quarterback as a junior and takes the snap. Hands off, and they try to go up the middle. Nothing there. Good defense as Richard Purvis was met at the line of scrimmage and stopped for hardly any gain. That's going to bring up third down and 8 yards to go.
Cameron Ross was in on that along with Solomon Tennant on that stop. I tell you, Jacob, I know you're down the sideline, but and you mentioned him last week, Jacob Richmond. He's playing a great job on that nose tackle.
Yeah, what can you tell us about Richmond?
He's just disrupting the middle guys. He's taking up the center and the right guard, and he's pushing them back. Actually, Cameron Ross got both tackles on the last two previous plays.
There's the pass. It is complete over on the right side to Jordan Daniel again, and he gets inside the 20. There's a flag on the play. That was on third down and 8.
Yeah, that's going to be a hold on Charlie McBride. They're setting up. They like to run this little bubble screen out here.
Yeah, they've worked it to the right several times.
He was just all over the Napa High defender. He's pulling their laundry off there. Good call. That was a good call.
Ray Pulley, the referee. Tony Karbowski, the umpire. Dirk Pearson, the head linesman. And Maurice Smith, the line judge. And Barrett Cox, the back judge. Signed to tonight's game. We're in the first quarter, inside of 6 minutes to go. No score in the game. The referee giving the signal to the far side. He failed to give the signal. He looked over to the other side. And
It's definitely a hold on the receiver there.
Yeah. Anyway, 10 yards are going to be marked out. It'll take the ball outside of the 30-yard line to the 31-yard line. So they will be looking at third down again, but they have about 13 yards to go for a first down. Slot right, two wideouts left, single setback behind the quarterback. The quarterback takes the snap, and he is hit, and he's sacked back near the 40-yard line as Cade Wyant, before he could get back to release the ball, was sacked.
I believe that was not Chase LaRue, but Cameron Ross again. But that was set up by Solomon Tillman. I'm not too sure, but they came on an outside blitz who missed him. But then the tackler was there just to clean up. Great defensive call.
Tennant is in there on that defensive line.
Yeah.
They've got Logan Zampa on the defensive line. Jacob Richmond is the nose guard out there for Napa High. 5 minutes to go, first quarter. No score in our ball game. And here is an empty backfield, but now they shift into punt formation. And dropping back and getting the punt away is Charlie McBride, and it's off the right side of his foot and does not go very deep. Goes out of bounds at about the 23-yard line where they're going to spot it up now. Only 24 yards on that punt. Napa offense coming back on the field.
I tell you, Ira, that Napa defense is strong. I'm really impressed with the Napa defense.
That was only 14 yards on the kick. No return, but just 14 yards. So,
you heard Coach Chuy Martinez pregame say, hey, our defense kept us in the game, and they're doing it tonight. The offense needs to get moving here.
Alex Perez de Leon, wide right, tight end left side. Going to have a full house backfield this time. Running from the I formation, under center. The handoff goes to the tailback. Herter gets across the 25, still pedaling, gets to the 26, 27, and dropped there. Now, Brandon Herter was the workhorse last week. He's only 5'8", about 190, a senior. Has certainly come around nicely for Napa High this season.
There they set up on strong right side, pulled the left guard around, and just ran right up past the guard. Just power football right there. Nice gain, 4.5 yards.
Second down and 6 yards to go at the 27-yard line in their own territory. Power eye again to the right side, and Herter is met by the line and cannot penetrate it this time. They tried to wedge an opening for him, but that just got clipped so quickly. The defenders just pinched in and stopped Herter for no gain.
Yeah, came back with the same play. So here again, Napa again faced with 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, their first three possessions here. See if they can convert.
Caden Cortese gets the signal from the east sideline from Chuy Martinez and sends Madigan out wide to the right side, a slot inside of him. Well, two wide outs left, two to the right, single setback. Pistol formation, almost moving back into a shotgun formation now as he drops back a little deeper, and there's a timeout. They were setting up, but they were not sure of the alignment and decided, let's take a timeout. So they do so.
So that was something that sort of plagued them, the Indians, last week, Kent. I think there were at least three occasions where they had to call a timeout because they couldn't get the play going in time.
Yeah, that's right, Dino. And this time it looked like the back was a little confused. Do I line up on the left side or the right side? You could see Cortez directing them where to go. Chewy did the smart thing. Let's just burn a timeout. 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. Big play here, third and five. They need to convert this first down, this third down.
Well, the Napa High Band, nice to see them turn out on a very hot night. Here is the second week of the high school football season is underway. Napa High looks at third down, 5 yards to go as they come out of their huddle now and start to line up, sending one wide out either side, sort of using a slot on the left side, and that's Sean Madigan over there. They have two in the backfield. Madigan goes in motion. The quarterback keeps the ball. He spins at the 30 and moves to about the 31. They need the 32 or 33, and he is going to be just shy again as they were in the last series. But this is about 1 yard shy as they were last series.
Yeah, you know, that time they just faked the motion guy, yeah. And then he came back the other side.
Fake to Madigan.
Right.
Then a roll up the middle. Got a good block at the point of attack there at the line of scrimmage.
Now let's see if this what happens this time. See if he rolls out to the right this time. See, and if Rockland's going to come with three guys off the edges, you know, like they did last time.
Okay, one guy drops back deep. That is Daniel Roberts. Cortese's punt bounds about midfield, rolls into Thunder territory, finally getting the ball into Thunder territory. Still rolling down inside the 35, and it'll be stopped over there by Kalani Posey at about the 34-yard line. 34 yards that time on the punt by Caden Cortese, and no return.
Well, had a good, generous roll there. That's good. Keep Rockland back in there. You know, it's the first time Rockland's starting back there with not on their, I think, on this side of their 50.
It's the first time they've been their own territory. Inside of 2.5 minutes to go here. No score. First quarter. They line up. He's got back to a shotgun formation as he takes the snap. Hands off as they try to go up the middle, but well read by the defense. Bladen Brown is brought down right about the 35-yard line. They have to get out to the 44-yard line for a first down, so they picked up about 1 yard on the play.
I continue to be impressed with the run defense for Napa. They haven't given up a running play for more than 2 yards so far tonight, Kent.
Yeah, they're awesome. It starts with Jacob Richmond right on that nose tackle. He's just a big force, over 6'5", 300 pounds. He's tough to move out of there. Their linebacker core is just free to come up and support after that.
Wyatt in a little trouble. He releases, and it is complete to Brown. Brown fumbles the ball. A scramble for it at the 45. That would be first down territory if Rockland recovers. But the ball slipped away, and they did recover, and they get a break because that gives them a first down after the fumble. Last week, Napa had four turnovers. If it not for those turnovers, that would have helped. But on this particular fumble, it was not a turnover because the Thunder recovered with a minute and a half to go in what has been a scoreless first quarter. Still in their own territory, the Thunder looks at first down at their 45-yard line. Shotgun formation. Single setback in the backfield. Richard Purvis right behind the quarterback. There's the handoff to Purvis. He finds an opening. He goes to midfield, and he's tackled, and lunges forward and gets close to a first down at the 45 of Napa.
Yeah, that time they ran off the edge, Ira, just off the left tackle, outside left tackle, actually. Had a kick-out block on the backer. And then the back made a nice run up the middle there, or up off the edge for a good 9.5 yards. Ira, a quick update from American Canyon. Vintage missed a 20-yard field goal. It's still 0-0 with about 2 minutes left in the first half.
First half there. We're about the end of the first quarter here as Wyatt passes out in the right flat. It goes incomplete, close to a lateral there as he tried to find Garrett Ruffner. out in the right flat.
Again, going with that bubble screen out there. They're running little quick screens and bubble screens. They come up with three receivers, just a different look. They may motion one, but they try to run the bubbles. That's about the fourth time they've gone to the well here.
But now, you know, they have
a defense well.
They have run that play each time to the right.
To the right.
They haven't gone to the left with
and
it
Ira,
yet.
You know what happens when you're calling plays? If you're right-handed, you tend to call plays to the right. It's just funny how that works.
And the quarterback is right-handed. He hands off and they get back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. As Blayton Brown, a 210-pound, 6-foot senior, is stopped for no gain, and that's fourth down. Now they are in Napa territory, but they need two big yards to get a first down on fourth down.
Yeah, they actually lost a yard on that play. Napa's defense, boy, I tell you.
Well, that line defense.
Yeah,
and it's not that Napa's that big.
No, well, you have Jacob Richmond, who's big, right?
Yep,
on the nose,
Richmond.
But those front three, Ira, they plugged the hole.
6'5", 310 pounds. I would call that big.
Yeah, he's big. And then that allows the backers to come up and just make the stop.
And that's the end of the first quarter here at Memorial Stadium with the score, no score. Napa High and Rockland, 0-0.
Extraordinary.
Oh, you're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. This is Ira C. Smith back here at Memorial Stadium, along with Kent Fry and Jacob Grant and Dino Alessio, as we're getting set for a fourth down. And they're going to go for it, even though they're at the Napa 48-yard line. And before the snap, there's a timeout here as we're just ready to start the second quarter. And before one play has taken place, there is a timeout. And that was Napa's second timeout that they have utilized here in the first half. Rockland still has its full contingent of three. Let's go down onto the sideline now. And last week, Jacob Grant was commenting about Jacob Richmond. You want to tell us about the reason for that?
Well, he's just a big boy, and he's getting his body up on the center, his left hand on the right guard, and his right hand on the left guard, and he's just pushing all three of those guys back as hard as he can and disrupting the quarterback in the pocket.
One of the elements that is helping this Napa defense. But a big play coming up now here. In this second quarter, we have the Rockland Thunder heading from our right to our left. They're going toward that north end zone now. Napa defending that north.
I think Coach Steen, Robbie Steen, the defensive coordinator, just wanted to, you know, remind his guys, watch out for any trickery. Don't jump off sides. You know, it's fourth and three, 2.5. Okay, if they line up with that, they may shift.
They line up at that three-man front there. That is about...
Shifting to punt.
Yeah. No, now they shift into a punt formation. You're right. Charlie McBride drops back inside of his 40-yard line, gets the snap, gets the punt away, and it's a good one. Soaring down inside the 10, down to the 5. They get down to the covered, and it kicks out of bounds inside the 5, down at the 2-yard line. Whoa, what a break for the Thunder again with that ball kicking out of bounds at about the 2-yard line. Give that a 46-yard punt with no return.
Yeah, that took a great bounce where it just popped right out to the right there on the 2-yard line.
So Napa, 98 yards to go down into the Rockland end zone. So they have to watch it here. No turnovers that deep. Get out of there. You want to avoid a safety. Or even worse than that, a loose ball and a touchdown back there. So here is Caden Cortese bringing him up to the line. Tight formation right side. One wide out, and that's to the left side. And under center, Cortese hands it off. And Herter drives the ball out to the 5-yard line, tackled there, and may have dropped forward for another half a yard. They're going to spot it right about the 5-yard line. Going just to the left of his center, trying to open up the hole over there, was Juan Loyola and Eaton Harrison.
And Ira, when you're pinned back on the 2-yard line, you got to set little miniature goals. You want to get it out to the 20. Let's get a drive going. Let's get it to the 20. You get it to the 20. Let's get it to midfield and just so on. You don't want to go all for it once.
Still under center, I formation backfield. And the handoff again goes to Herter. Herter across the 10. He's out. No, check it. That That time it was not Herter. That was Estrella. Alan Estrella carried the ball that time.
And he got the first down. He almost had a six, Ira. He just kind of was trying to decide which way to go. He had a blocker set up, and he made the cut the way the block went the opposite way.
Okay, might use my microphone a little bit there for you, too. Yours is fading a little bit here. So we have a first down for Napa on that Estrella run, and it is Cortez under center, starting to the left side. They grab him. They won't let him hand off. He lunges forward, gets a yard, maybe two, gets to the 15, pulled down there.
Yeah, running that option keep is what they were trying to do, and good defense there by Rockland.
So ball at the 15-yard line. We're just underway in the second quarter. No score in our ball game, 0-0. And it is Napa on the attack from their own 15-yard line, coming out from where they had been backed up to the 2-yard line. Cortez, the starting quarterback, still in there. And he goes to the pistol formation now and gets the snap and does not hand off. But passes out into the left flat, and the ball is juggled and nearly dropped. And the player then has to go down and cover up the ball. And that was Sean Madigan. That's the first pass to Sean this season.
Yeah, and their timing was off on that, Ira. Just, they ran the option, faked the option, and then looking for a little bubble screen. Timing was off. The ball was delivered late, and then Madigan bobbled the ball.
Well, a possession-type play coming up now on third down. Inside of 10 minutes to go here in the first half. We'll see if Caden Cortez wants to go to the airway again. That was out on the left flat on the last play. He has Chase LaRue in the backfield with him this time. And Napa, are they who's spending the timeout this time?
Yep, Napa
spends their final timeout here of the first half. They've used all three of theirs, and Rockland has yet to call a timeout.
Well, it's a big third down here, Ira. They have 8 yards to go. They're deep in their own territory. So they want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Don't be surprised if they come up and try a long count, try to draw offsides, make it from a third and eight to a third and two, third and three. So we'll see what Chuy Martinez has drawn up here for the Napa High Indians.
Well, keep in mind, too, that Napa got a late start because they did not have spring football, and the time that a coach was named and all, why they were running behind other schools as far as condition, as far as training. But credit a lot of the players keeping themselves in shape during the off season and then rallying around this new coaching staff. Chuy Martinez had come onto the field there to tell his team what he wants here on this third down and about 7 yards to go for a first down. Dawson Trent in the backfield. Cortez rolls out. He's going to pass. He looks. He fires a long one down, and it's overthrown, intended for Sean Madigan at midfield. Just out of his reach.
Boy, he had Cameron Ross open in the curl, but he was looking deep for Madigan, but he missed Cameron Ross, where it came out from the outside and ran a nice curl right and set in the zone, and he was wide open. I think he's going to regret that when they see the film on that.
Madigan has some good speed. Well, and once again, Rockland's going to come out of this in good field position because Napa will be punting from back at about the 5-yard line, gets a snap, gets the punt away. Cortez's punt bounds out of bounds in Napa territory. Did not get down into Thunder territory, but it did get to the 45-yard line. So that was a 30-yard punt, no return. But again, excellent field position for Rockland. They've had good field position throughout this first half.
And you have to wonder how long Napa's defense can just keep him out of the end zone, Ira. I mean, Napa's defense has played so well, but when you're giving the opponent field position on your side of the field, it's hard to do.
So the Thunder coming up to the line of scrimmage with a two wideouts right, a single wideout to left, a single setback behind the quarterback. Cade Wyatt takes the snap, hands off of right tackle, goes Bladen Brown. Brown is hit, dropped shy of the 40, right around the 41-yard line in Napa territory. It's going to be a pickup of about 4 yards, bring up second down and 6 yards to go. Plenty of time yet for somebody to get on the scoreboard here in the first half. Over 9 minutes remaining. 0-0 score. Napa defense has been tested throughout this first half. They have shown no signs of tiring. There's that three-man front for Napa on the defense. Man going in motion from right to left. Quarterback fired, and it is incomplete. Nice job defending out there by Michael Blattis. The six-foot senior reached his hand out there just enough to tip the ball away.
Jordan Daniels dropped it, too. I mean, that ball was there. It's a good defense all the way around, but tough catch when the hand gets in there, but you got to have it.
Yeah, well, you saw that better than I was looking there and saw Blattis coming in there, but it helps to get those little breaks here and there when you drop a pass. So that brings up third down. They are in four-down territory, so if they don't get a first down on this one, they'll go try for it again. Cade Wyatt, the quarterback, back to pass, getting rushed, fires. And the pass is complete, even though Herter made a good effort to knock the ball away and to make the interception. He was in there on the tackle, but the pass was complete.
Sawyer Squirrel. Squirrel, is that how you say that?
Squirrel, good. Squirrel.
Because that was defensive. Defender was blanketed all over him. That was just a great catch.
And it was enough for a first down, down to the 32-yard line.
They ran a little post there, just singled him up, ran a quick post and hit him.
Wyant from the shotgun takes the snap, hands off, and they look for some running room. They don't find much there as Damiano Parra, a 5'9 junior, carries for the first time tonight, and Parra stopped basically at the line of scrimmage.
Right. Solomon Tennant, number 33, is just having a career night there, coming from that defensive tackle, if you will. He's part of that front three, Ira, and he's just playing a great job tonight.
Yeah. Tinnan, Zampa, Richmond. Trip set left. Wyatt passes to the right, and it's incomplete. It was a slant coming from the right on slanting in toward the middle, a little underthrown pass intended for Daniel Roberts.
Right, just loaded up with trips to the left side, then tried to hit the single side receiver on a post, and just like you said, our ball was a little underthrown.
Well, it's third down, but again, just remember they are in four down territory, so if they don't get a first down on this, they will try again, I would imagine. We're inside of 8 minutes to go here in the second quarter. Scoreless game. Trip set again to the left. Quarterback drops back to pass. Wyatt sets the screen, and it's incomplete. Boy, I don't know who that was intended for as the line was coming charging after quarterback Cade Wyant, and he had to release the ball before the intended receiver turned around.
Yeah, they were trying to look for number 14, Parra, on the screen, but just too much pressure on the quarterback. Timing was off.
So that's a fourth down.
Are they going to go for it, Ira? It'd be a long field goal. That would be a 50-yard. We saw them hitting some long ones. Looks like they're going to go for it.
No, they're not going to kick. They're going to pass.
They're going to go for it.
Yeah, they are. This is their game, the passing game. The ball is at the 32-yard line on fourth down. And there is a whistle and a penalty. It looks like it's going to go against the Thunder. And it's an illegal procedure. False start, the call.
Yeah, it was the tight end. He went into motion before the ball was snapped. Easy call.
So it's fourth down. The ball is moved back outside of the 35 to the 37-yard line.
By which I mean to say he wasn't in motion laterally. He was moving downfield when the ball was snapped.
It will be I don't know if they're going to a punt situation now or not. Look, they're still going to go for it. It's at the Napa.
Now they're going to shift back.
Now they're sending McBride back deep. Charlie McBride will get the ball at about the 50-yard line. And he gets the punt away, a good one, high, good coverage allowed, and it bounds into the end zone to be a touchback out to the 20 for Napa High. Kent, once again.
I tell you, Napa is dodging a bullet, but because they're giving the ball to Rockland in Napa's own territory, but Napa's defense has just stood up every time. It was last week the same thing, Ira. They just played so well, and they're playing well this first half, and they just need to get something moving on offense.
Yep.
Dino, do they have a first down on offense, Napa? I don't believe they
Napa
do.
Napa has one first down rushing so far.
Napa with the football now. Just over 7.5 minutes to go until half. No score in our game. Full house backfield. Quarterback Cortese gets the snap. Keeps the ball. Looks and he changed direction there. Started to the right. Cut inside and is brought down after a 1 yard gain there. He saw that the hole that he had hoped was going to open up did not. So then he tried to change directions and on his cut inside, the linebacker came right over there and sealed it and brought him down.
Yeah, Dawson Trent needs to get out there and make that block a little earlier. He was a little late on the trigger there. The little miscues like that, Ira, that's what stalls the offense. Everybody needs to get their assignment. If everybody's getting their assignment, you're going to get 6-7 yards a pop.
The Indians get set now from the 21-yard line, sending Dawson Trent over toward the left side. Now they'll put him in motion, going to the right under center. Is back play action. Looks, he fires, and it is caught at the 45-yard line over his shoulder. Reeling in the ball, Cameron Ross, 6'2 senior, and Napa gets a first down.
Yeah, that's a big play and a great catch by Cameron Ross. Cortese threw that just a little behind. The defender almost got his hand in there to break it up, but Cameron Ross literally stole it away from him.
A 24-yard pickup on the play for Napa as they near midfield. They would love to get that ball into Thunder territory as they've been playing in their own territory about all this first half. 6.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. No score in our game. Cortese takes the snap, and he hands off. They go up the middle to midfield this time. Getting the ball was Dawson Trent and stopped at the 49-yard line. Still in Napa territory, but very close to midfield.
Good play there, Ira, going back to their option, just off a spread look there. But good read by Cortese, handed it off to the fullback, Trent. 4-yard pickup, you'll take that every time.
So just shy of midfield. Madigan will go out to the left side, and so will Kalani Posey. Out to the right side comes Cameron Ross. Madigan goes in motion. The quarterback keeps the ball, and he's stopped for no gain. He may have gotten just about to midfield, but he was stopped before he could turn the corner. Caden Cordese, now they put the ball right back where it was at the 49-yard line. Third down, 9 yards to go, 5.5 minutes remaining. Second quarter, no score in the game from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California.
Another big third down here, 3rd and 6 for Napa at their own 49. They've been faced with a lot of third down situations.
And it will be Cortese, the quarterback who's gone all the way so far in this game, sending Posey out to the left side. Madigan comes out right side this time, single setback there. He's in the... pistol, back to pass, firing a long one downfield, intended for Herter, and he got it. What a catch, the catch of the game, if not the season, by Herter. And that was inside the 10-yard line. And I don't know how Brandon Herter got it, but it is a 42-yard pickup.
Ira, he ran it, is making an over-the-shoulder catch. Came off his hands, off the defender's hands, and his Herter was going down, dove and made the catch. What a great job on Brandon Herter.
Cradled that.
Super job.
I don't know why, but your microphone occasionally is cutting out there. All right, 4:40 to go now, second quarter. It'll be first down and goal to go for Napa High, trying for their first points of the season. Caden Cortese bringing him up to the line of scrimmage in a power eye to the right side. And he takes the snap, hands over to the tailback, trying to go to the left side, but Australia is going to be stopped for no gain. May have lost a yard as they look to cut into that left side of the line, but nothing opened up there, and an injured player on the Napa sideline. So let's go down to the sideline and find out if Jacob Grant could find out who that player is.
Looks like Estrella, the ball carrier. I can't quite tell.
I can't tell from here. I can't see his number here.
Okay.
Rockland was all over that defense, Ira. They were just looking for that great job on Rockland to stop that.
Well, you know, you credit both defenses. And that play that Herter made, that's one that you want to see on the highlight reel.
Yeah, that was a great play. That's good defense, too. The ball was delivered.
That was Alan Estrella.
Estrella on the field. Thanks,
okay.
Jake.
Yeah, thanks.
But, yeah, the defense is just playing great. And the defender for on that pass was right there, Ira. In fact, he almost intercepted it. So it's just a great play by both receiver and defender. And Napa High came up with the bigger play.
Well, it's going to be second and goal at the 10-yard line, but they're not taking any chances. Rob Brandon from the Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center will take every precaution necessary. He's not going to have that player moved a bit until he is sure that everything is going to be all right. Rob Brandon, Bruce McCall, Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center, and local excellence in physical therapy, they go hand in hand.
And Ira, here's the thing about these guys on the field. If Rob says this kid Estrella, if he's out, he's out. He will take the helmet and out, and he will tell the head coach, this player's out. And the head coach does not even argue.
Nope, they do not second guess. They do not question.
No, it could be your superstar player. If the trainer says he's out, he's out.
He said he needs to set out, and he needs to set out for the game. He needs to set out for a play. He needs to set out for several plays or whatever. Whatever they say is what the coach and the team abides by.
That's right.
So that shows you the confidence and the faith that they have in these guys. You know, looking ahead to next week, Napa will be going to San Francisco. They'll be at City College against Reardon High School next Saturday afternoon. So it will not be a Friday night game. It'll be a 2:30 start, while Rockland will be at Whitney High. Now, that's kind of their big game because Whitney is right there in Rockland. So that's kind of their big game next Friday night. And we will be here as Vintage will be hosting Davis. And as far as we know, it's 7 o'clock airtime. Now, that's what it was supposed to be last week, but we went on the air about a quarter till 7, and that's what it's supposed to be this week. We went on the air at 7:30. So right now it's set for 7 o'clock, and we'll keep you posted. Justin Sienna will be home next Friday night, and that'll be on KVYN. They'll go against Bishop O'Dowd of Oakland. American Canyon's home to Intercom. Intercom has a powerhouse once again.
I tell you, Intercom's tough. They really are.
They are strong. St. Helena next week will also be home. They'll be home to Kelseyville. And Calistoga will be home as well to Roseland Collegiate Prep. And a couple new teams, or we should say three new teams, to the league next year. Sonoma Valley will have their opener next week. They will be at El Camino, and that's the one in South San Francisco. And the Casa Grande Gauchos, it'll be in the new league, will be hosting San Marin from the MCAL. And on Saturday, the Petaluma Trojans, also in the new league next year, will be at Terra Linda in San Rafael. That was just a little look ahead as they were attending to the injured player there.
Yeah, Estrella was they were helping him off. Wasn't putting any weight on that right foot or leg, so I don't know if it's an ankle or a knee, but definitely the right leg somewhere. If it's a
he had such
could
a good
a knee or an ankle.
Yeah, he had such
two.
A good game last week too. He was in there as a linebacker tonight. So it's second and 10 as they're up to the line of scrimmage. Under center is Cortez, putting a man in motion from left to right. And on a slant into the end zone, touchdown Napa! Making the grab is PDL Alex Perez de Leon. And Napa has scored for the first time this season inside of 4 minutes to go in the second quarter.
And Ira, they took a page right out of Rockland's playbook. Set up in doubles, motioned out, and PDL was the lone receiver. Went back to the single side on a quick slant. Good ball, good catch, touchdown.
Okay, well, we'll have the extra point attempt now as the left-footed kick soars in through the uprights as Carlos Mendez was able to get that kick away. And I don't know if there's a flag or what, but the players are slow coming off the field.
Well, if this is good, it's going to be hard because they only had 9 guys on the field. Napa High, 9 guys.
Yep. See if they call a illegal procedure penalty on the Napa Indians.
So you got to be ready. If you're on special teams, you got to be paying attention to the game. If you're not in the game and you score, you got to be ready to go out there. Now, maybe Estrella was on special team. But who's his substitute? Who's ready to take his place? If that was the case. But Napa only had nine guys on the field on that extra point attempt.
Now, keep in mind, this is the first time they've scored this season. Carlos Mendez, one of the kickers also. I think Jose Acosta can also kick it. Now, Mendez is going to kick it again. This will be from the 15-yard line. He's a left-footed kicker. And this kick is another line drive, and it goes through two, clearing the crossbar by about 2 feet.
Yeah, he's lucky that's not blocked, Ira. He gets the distance, but, boy, is that a low line drive. He's very lucky it's not blocked.
It looked like both of those balls had a hand on it as they were kicked off.
Wouldn't be surprised, Jake, because that was low kicks.
Well, there's a timeout now as Napa High in seven plays goes 80 yards in 3 minutes and 49 seconds. And with 3:54 to go in the first half, leads Rockland 7-0. There's the drum roll in the background, and so that means that Napa's about ready to kick off after an extra point, leading for the first time this season, scoring for the first time this season, owning a 7-0 lead over Rockland and getting set to kick off. Napa has not been that impressive with the kickoff. We're going to have Jose Acosta see what he can do with the kicking. This is where the soccer team has been very helpful in the past, providing some really good kickers. Here's Acosta's kick, and that's a good one. End over end down inside the 5. Taken right at the 5, out to the 10, the 15, the 20 and 25-yard line comes Garrett Ruffner, and Ruffner is dropped at the 26-yard line.
And Ira, much better defense from the Napa High kickoff team. Remember last week the opening kickoff was ran back right up the middle.
87 yards for a TD.
So much better. Obviously, Chewy Martinez had those guys working on special teams.
And the only other touchdown came on a 60-yard run where they broke open at got a good run. They had a 38-yard extra or a field goal in there, too. On first down, they run the play to the right side. They put the head down and breaks a tackle across the 30, out the 35, still going, the 40. And now they bring him down at about the 40-yard line as Bladen Brown just put his head down and was able to shake off one of the Napa would-be tacklers.
Yeah, I think it was Keola Frazier who missed him. He missed two tackles here. Napa High had two missed tackles. They got to wrap up. They made good contact, but did not wrap up.
At the 40-yard line, it's a first down in their own territory. Cade Wyant, the junior quarterback, 6'2", 185 pounds, back to pass. His pass is incomplete. McBride in the left flat was the intended receiver on the play, covered by Michael Blattis.
They go to McBride a lot. They like to run the hitch, the little out, and the bubble screen to him. He's a big target. I can see why they go to him.
Yeah, he's their kicker as well, does a good job. Charlie McBride, he's only a junior, 236-3. Running from the shotgun formation is Wyant. And there is a whistle before he got the snap, and Dino thinks he knows what the infraction is.
Well, it looked like the split end down at the bottom of our screens there, number 17. I don't know if he lost the snap count, but he definitely started rolling downfield before the snap.
No losing the snap count, Dino. He's got to watch the ball.
You're doing good on picking those out, Dino. Keep up the good work here.
That's a cardinal sin of the whiteout, just like you said, Dino. No reason for that. His job is to watch, even if he doesn't know the snap count, watch the snap of the ball.
7-0, Napa has the lead. 3:17 to go here in the first half. Cade Wyant, half of a twin combination. Cole Wyant, his brother's been out there on defense. There, the pass is complete to Brown. Brown avoids one tackler, hit by another, falls forward to the 39-yard line. They have to get to midfield for a first down. So after that 5-yard penalty, they pick up 4 yards on that play.
Nice little play, Ira. They sent two receivers out here just to run off deep, and then they sent the back out just in the flats. Good recovery by Napa High defense and swarm air to make the tackle.
Rockland has 3 timeouts remaining. They use a trip set out to the right side, a single setback behind the quarterback, and a wide out to the left. And the quarterback is back to pass. He's getting rushed. He's getting hit, and he gets away from 3. He fires. It is caught for a first down. Out of bounds, and as Madigan makes the hit, Daniel Roberts makes the grab. How did Cade Wyant avoid three tacklers? I don't know.
Well, you know, you just, again, you got to wrap up. They had him back there, but they just didn't wrap up, and Wyant just did a great job escaping. But they had him for a loss. They had him for a loss, Ivor, to pin him back deep, but you got to finish your tackle.
So the ball is in Napa territory now at the 48-yard line. 2.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Shotgun formation. Wyant takes a snap, getting the rush, getting hit, getting by another tackler. Running with the ball to 45. Hit, gets by another one to the 40. Gets by another tackler to the 35. And finally is hit at the 32-yard line. Three Napa players missed on tackles on that play, at least three.
Wyant just ran over him, Ira. This is, you can see, this is where they don't have any timeouts. They need a timeout, but they don't have any. Napa's defense is shot. They're burnt. They're tired.
This is their first up, and I think it's from the being on the field so much and
exactly.
the heat of the evening.
And Wyant just literally ran over three Napa High defenders. You can see they're dog tired. Their hands are on their hips. Their heads are hanging.
And this is still the first half with over 2 minutes to go in the half from the shotgun formation. Cade Wyant has double wides to the left, but he looks to the right. His pass there is caught inside the 30. No, they're ruling it incomplete, or are they ruling it complete?
No, incomplete. He bobbled that.
I thought he did, but I looked at the official, and
that's a good call.
Yeah, you're right. They're bringing it back incomplete. Second down, 10 yards to go. They're at the Napa 32-yard line. And they have plenty of time, just inside of 2 minutes to go, plus their three timeouts. Napa has no timeouts remaining here in the first half.
You can sense Rockland has Napa on the ropes here. They want to finish the knockout blow, get in the end zone before the half here.
Brown is the tailback, Wyant the quarterback. And those are the only two in the backfield, as they have double wide outs each side. Cade Wyant takes the snap, looks right, running, starts to run. He is hit. And he nearly bobbles the ball, and this time they bring him down.
No, that's a fumble.
Though he did fumble. He bobbled it for a moment, and then he did fumble it. And I know that one of the players was Sean Madigan that got in there to help create that bobble, but there may have been a couple other players that had a hand in it.
There was Cameron Ross and Madigan where they're putting pressure on. Then he fumbled it, regained it, fumbled it again, and then Tinian, number 33, came down with the ball. Solomon Tinian came down with the recovery. Big break for Napa High Indians.
So Napa will get the ball in their own territory at the 36-yard line with a 7-0 lead here. We're in the second quarter. We'll see if we can get an update on that American Canyon Vintage score here, too, in a moment. As we look at Napa coming out of the huddle, we'll see if they just try to run out the clock here in this first half. Roger Fuentes is in the lineup now, slotting out to the right side. As the quarterback, they're going to pass. They set a screen, incomplete, intended for Dawson Trent out in the left flat, but that was one of those little bubble screens to the left.
Yeah, they're just, you know, running a little delayed screen to the back, and just Cortez just overthrew it. He just needs to be a little bit more patient, hit his target, because that, you could hear Dino do a big moan.
Because it was wide open. Yeah. The defense was totally suckered in, and he would have run at least 30 or 40 yards, if not all the way, for a touchdown.
Absolutely.
If that pass is on target.
Yep, absolutely.
But don't be too surprised, too, if they get a pass to Madigan one of these times, that he breaks it loose, because he has got some good speed. This is his first game of the season, as he missed last week's game. Working from the pistol formation. Putting a guy in motion, giving to the second man coming through. He's out to the 40 and getting close to midfield is Brandon Herter, and he's just a little bit shy of a first down. Clock keeps moving, a minute and a half to go in the second quarter, 7-0, Napa in the lead, and Napa with the ball. It's back at the 44-yard line of Napa. Clock continues to move. Napa has no timeouts to stop the clock.
Got a shutout going down American Canyon, Ira. 6:27 in the third quarter, still 0-0. Wow.
That's in the third quarter. Of course, they started at 7:30. Two setbacks now, and there's contact at the line, and we'll see against whom that penalty is assessed. And it's going to go against Napa.
Yep.
So instead of third and two, going to be third and seven.
And that's just a big play against Napa right there. That's the lack of discipline. They're going on the long count to draw them off sides, and they did, but the left guard jumped. could have had a first down just on the penalty alone right there. Here now we're third and, what, seven, Ira, just like you said.
The ball is just inside the 40-yard line, at the 39-yard line in Napa territory, where it has been most of the evening here in this first half. Just over a minute to go in this the second quarter of play. Kalani Posey out wide left. The rest are all tight formation, eye formation, power to the left, and they'll run it to the left. Herder carries. Herder looks to cut in, and he is going to be cut down before he can pick up a first down. He did get some pretty good yardage, but he needed seven, and he got, looks like, six. Earlier in the first quarter tonight, on the first two series, they fumbled on the first series, but the second, third series, they came up 1 yard short each time of getting that first down. And now it's fourth down, and they're spotting it, making it 2 yards to go for a first down.
Rockland's called a timeout, Ira. They want the ball back. They want to go into halftime to get some points. And so Chuy Martinez needs to talk this over. They need good punt coverage. Pin them deep in their own territory, and do not let Rockland have any good field position.
Well, you alluded to the heat and the amount of time the defense has spent on the field. They could be tiring, and some of them are going both ways. Cameron Ross, yeah. Logan Zampa going both ways, Alex Perez de Leon, Dawson Trent, Sean Madigan. They got quite a few going both directions here.
You're absolutely correct, Ira, and it's starting to show here. So Napa needs to get a good punt here.
They need to get a good punt away as Cortese will drop back inside of his 35-yard line. Back in single safety there is Roberts. Gets the punt away, wobbling over to the left side, gets down to it, close to the 10-yard line, got a good Napa roll. It's going to kick out of bounds at about the 12-yard line.
That time Cortese didn't roll out to his right or left. He just stayed there. They had one back there for Rockland, and he punted it away from him. Great punt. Rockland's going to go after, 80-plus yards just to put points on the board.
Yeah, a good 45-yard punt there. A lot of that on the roll.
Yeah, but there's away from the return. He didn't allow a return or the opportunity to score or a long return.
Good point. We're inside of a minute to go now here in the second quarter. 7-0, Napa in the lead. Rockland has the football back at their own 11-yard line. They line up in a shotgun formation with a single back behind the quarterback. There's the pass out in the right flat. It's complete, but then an immediate tackle by Michael Blattis.
Blattis was right on that, wasn't he?
Yep.
Made a nice read.
He allowed them to complete the pass, but was there for the tackle.
Blattis was actually covering the outside receiver, then jumped off to make that tackle on the inside.
There's a rush put on the quarterback, but his pass is complete. Gets by one tackler, by another, down to 35, the 40, the 45 to midfield, gets by. Oh, and then he's tripped up as Napa's Gunner Geishup making a shoestring tackle on that.
Well, Ira, I think I jinked Blattis. He made a great play and then missed the tackle, let him get that big run. They're going to spike the ball, stop the clock.
13.8 seconds to go here in the quarter, but didn't take long for the Thunder to get back into Napa territory where they've been spending most of this first half, about all of it in Napa territory. So, coach on the sideline, Greg Benzel, long-term coach there. This is the 25th year for the school, started in 1993. Cade Wyant, quarterback from the shotgun, takes the snap, looks to his left. His pass is complete there to Brown. Brown at the 40. He gets by one tackler, but then steps out of bounds to stop the clock with 8 seconds to go.
Well, do you try a field goal? They're going to go for six here. Going to try 8 seconds. You're going to have to put it in the end zone real quick here. Quick update, Ira. Vintage just scored. It's 7-0 in the third quarter down at American Canyon.
Got the extra point, too. Okay. All right, we look at third down. About 7 yards to go. That's academic. Now the clock is what matters with 8 seconds to go. Double wides either side, and Wyant is dropping back to pass. But as he gets the football, there is a whistle, and a false start is going to be charged against the Thunder. So that takes the ball back to the Napa 44-yard line. Time remains the same, 8.3 seconds to be exact. It's a third down, but that, as they say, is academic. Quarterback Wyatt dropped back to pass, rolls to his right, looks, fires long down toward the end zone. There are blue jerseys there, and Napa makes the interception in the end zone. And that was down at the far end of the field. I'm trying to – that was a
Brandon Herter.
Brandon Herter. Thanks, Jake. You're right there. Thank you.
Yeah, well, and that will be the final play of the half. The ball was in the end zone. But fortunately for Napa, it was to an Indian.
Yep, just overthrew the receivers there. But what a great performance by the Napa High Indians defense, Ira. I'm just so impressed with this defense.
Well, stay tuned because we have a special guest coming at halftime. And, of course, Dino's special statistics as well and comments from Kent Fry as we continue here on KVON from Memorial Stadium, where our halftime score is Napa High 7 and Rockland 0. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and we stream on the internet at kvon.com. Well, it's our pleasure now to say hello to a guy who has been in the athletic department over at Vacaville High School, shifted over to Will C. Wood, has been basketball coach at both areas, assumed the duties of athletic director in addition to continuing as a basketball coach. And Mark Waddell, I understand that you are relinquishing one of those duties.
Yes, Beth Kelly's taken over as our athletic director, and I'm just coaching and teaching now.
What brings you to a Rockland Napa High football game?
Well, my nephews, Cole and Cade Wyatt, play for Rockland. Their dad was Drew Wyatt, who played at Vacaville High School and then Sac State as a quarterback.
Yeah, and quite a good one.
Yes, he was.
And that was when you were at Vacaville High?
No, I was actually, I just was out of college, so I was teaching and coaching in Sacramento for a couple years.
Uh-huh. Before you got to Vacaville, then over to Wood?
Yes.
You know, we hear so much about a new stadium that's coming up. It's going to eventually be a reality there?
Yeah, they broke ground last May, and they've dug everything out, all the dirt. They've put in all the irrigation pipes and electrical, and they've got a building started, the foundations. They got the foundations for the bleachers. So it's coming along really nicely.
What type of surface will they have?
It's going to be a turf field.
You know, with the new turf fields, they used to put this ground-up tires in there. I understand they're doing ground-up cork now that stays cooler.
We're not using the cork or the tire. It's a coated, so if everything stays, it has a plastic coating on it. And it's actually underneath... It's like Jesuit Stadium. It's a new kind of turf that doesn't go up high, and the infield doesn't ever come out, so you can never see the infield.
Well, we'll see. What Wildcats opened with a win over Concord, 49-12, so you must have a pretty good football team. They had a good one last year, too, when you were athletic director.
Yeah, they have a lot of returners, and they've bolstered up their defense and stuff like this, so that's what we're really excited about is their defense. Our quarterback is out, but they got a good running game, and the junior quarterback is doing a fine job there so far.
Well, as you probably know, Napa and Vintage will be leaving MEL, and what does that do alignment-wise with Will C. Wood into a new league?
Well, we'll still be in the MEL. Vanden and Benicia and Fairfield are moving in, actually, all the schools will be either in Vacaville or Fairfield. So it'll be an interesting, it'll be nice and close and a lot of rivals. And so I think it still should be a pretty good league, but, you know, we're going to miss Napa and Vintage.
Yeah, so that is going to be retaining the MEL label.
I believe it is.
Are you looking for much as far as returnees in basketball? I know this is not basketball season yet, but the Golden State Warriors have their first preseason game in this month, if you can imagine. September 30th, they have a home game, albeit a preseason.
We have a lot of returners coming back. Unfortunately, one of them is our quarterback, and it doesn't look like he probably won't be able to play again this year. But
he was so good last year.
Yeah, he was the league MVP. Yeah. So
what happened?
He had a chipped bone on the tip of his femur, and it was about to come off, and so they had to screw that back in. Otherwise, he would have, you know, been out for longer. But the surgery went well and looks good, and, you know, he's been offered a scholarship to Nevada Reno for play football and quarterback there. So, you know.
Even though he's missing his senior year.
Yes.
What an athlete. I remember him from basketball, too. He was good for you.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to miss him, but, you know, we have some other people that can fill in, and I think we're going to do all right.
What is the rivalry like between Will C. Wood and the Vacaville Bulldogs?
Oh, it's intense. I'm sure it's just like the Napa and Vintage rivalry. What's nice is the, you know, the kids all get along now. They're, you know, grown up together. They're friends, and they like playing against each other and battle it out. And, you know, there's always this, you know, one team's always disappointed, but, you know, the kids enjoy it, I think.
What type of kids are Cade and Cole Wyant?
Oh, they're awesome. They're really good students. It's been fun to watch them grow up and stuff like this. And, you know, their dad's always been tutoring them, you know, for quarterback and stuff like this. And, you know, one is a starter. The other one's a backup. The backup, you know, Cole, he plays linebacker, flanker, tight end, you know, and he's on special teams. So he's all over the place.
Well, maybe on nights when the Napa and Vintage schools do not have league games, that they'll have Will C. Wood in there someplace.
Well, you know, we hope. They're, you know, it's close. It's nice teams, great rivalries. So, you know, we'd like to keep them in there.
Mark, thanks for sharing your halftime with us, and enjoy the second half.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Mark Waddell, who is the basketball coach at Will C. Wood and has been athletic director for some time, although, as you heard, he has relinquished that. We'll have the halftime stats in just a moment as we continue with our countdown to the second half. Our halftime score here at Memorial Stadium is Napa High 7 and Rockland 0. 7-0, Napa has the lead here at halftime, and with the statistics to tell us how that all happened is Dino Alessio.
Well, the scoring summary is pretty brief. It was the Napa High Indians getting on the board with 3 minutes, 54 seconds to go in the first half. Alex Perez de Leon pulling in a 10-yard scoring pass from Caden Cortez. Mendez added the point after. That capped off an 80-yard drive for the Indians. And the Indians had their first points of the season, their first lead of the season, and they definitely played their best half of the season so far in that first half. Some of the individual numbers for Rockland, they did virtually nothing running the ball as Napa just continues to impress, stuffing the run. Rockland had 13 carries for 35 yards as a team. Their leading ball carrier was Brown, who had 17 yards, and Purvis had 11. Passing, Cade Wyant was terrific, 9 out of 17, 105 yards. He did throw one interception, but that was on the very last play of the first half when he sort of had to go for broke to try and get his team on the board. For the Napa Indians, the leading ball carrier is Herter with some very tough yardage. He hasn't had any really long gains. His longest gain has been 8 yards, but he has 30 yards on 8 carries. And Caden Cortez, 8 yards on 4 carries. Altogether, for the Napa Indians, 48 yards rushing on 16 carries. So they're running just well enough. And passing, 4 of 8 for Caden Cortez, 76 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. So for Rockland, 30 offensive plays, 140 yards, 4.7 yards per play. For Napa, 24 plays, 124 yards, 4.2 yards per offensive play. And Napa, Rockland with 30 plays to 24 for Napa. It'll behoove Napa to get some more ball control going in the second half and keep their D off the field. Team numbers, Rockland has 5 first downs. Napa has just 3. And 4 penalties against the Thunder of Rockland for 25 yards. Napa just 2 penalties for 10 yards. The Indians had only 3 penalties last week. They continue to play disciplined football. They did have the 1 turnover in the first half early on, but they're showing they've got a quality defense, and if the offense keeps coming along, this could be a very entertaining season, guys.
Well, a guy that had a very entertaining halftime talking with some of the folks about what impressed them in the first half is our own Kent Fry.
Well, Ira, I tell you, it's what a game, as Dino alluded to. I'm impressed with the defense of Napa High. I can't say enough about them. They are doing such a superb job. Last week they kept Napa in the game and did a great job, and this week is no different. And then you got guys like Trent Dawson, Cameron Ross, and Solomon Tennant. These guys are going both ways and just playing a superb job. And then big Jake Richmond on the nose tackle. And it's great to see, PDL getting the action, getting the end zone. I'm sure that's going to be the first of many this season. What you got to worry about now is, can Napa's defense sustain that effort that they gave the first half, carrying it to the second half? And then also, injuries. We saw Estrada go out the field. I think it's a knee. And, Madigan, I saw him hurting over there as well. So I don't know if I doubt we see Estrada back this half. And then Madigan is another question mark.
Madigan had a cramp, it looked like, in his shoulder.
Cramp on the shoulder? Okay.
And Estrada, he was walking off the field on crutches with ice around his calf.
Oh, wow.
So that's not good. So I'm sure Estrada is done for the night. And then it'll be interesting to see if Madigan comes back. Madigan's a big boost there. Having him back in that first half, he caught that nice pass downfield. Or, he's got the speed, as you were saying, Ira. He can go deep. So yep. Napa's defense, if they can sustain, if Napa's offense can get a sustained drive, not have to rely on the big play, but if they can punch 3 or 4 first downs, on continuous drive, that'll keep that defense off the field.
You mentioned about a shoulder injury. Another player who did a nice job at linebacker last week, who was the captain of the team last week, is not suited up because of a shoulder injury, and that is Isaac Castrillo, who is a 6-foot senior. And also we should mention that the sophomore that started at quarterback last week, Isaiah Newton, has that contusion on his right hand, on the top of his wrist. And while he is suited up, he has that heavily bandaged there with the soft bandage out there. And he can be used on defense, but not necessarily for offense.
Absolutely, Ira. So, Coach Chewy, he's got his work cut out as far as personnel. But, as Coach Mott always said, and it goes with all coaches, if you lose a player, it's next man up. So that's why it's so important practice, to be ready, because when your number is called, you're out there to perform. Ira, a quick update from American Canyon with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Vintage is up 14-7 over American Canyon.
Good ball game there at the Wolf Den. Here at Memorial Stadium, it's 7-0. Napa in the lead over Rockland as we're just about set for the second half of football. We'll be seeing the Vintage Crushers next week as they will be here at Memorial Stadium hosting Davis, a team that a while back was a member of the MEL. That'll be at 7 o'clock on KVON next Friday night while on the Vine. KVYN will have Justin Sienna hosting Bishop O'Dowd of Oakland as we try to provide 2 football games every Friday night, one here on KVON and one over bar on KVYN.
Well, it's football, Ira. That's why we had a lot of local teams playing. So that's a fun part of broadcasting. Watch all the locals play.
And speaking of locals, they're going to be a local league practically next year. Although you can consider Petaluma and Casa Grande of Petaluma as local, and Sonoma Valley, maybe not even American Canyon, but you've got Justin Sienna, Vintage, and Napa, and all in the same league.
That's right. That's going to be fun. And even with American Canyon and Sonoma, they're part of the family. It's my book.
Yeah.
So, the long road trip would be over to Petaluma. So That's going to be fun to watch these kids. They all know each other, Ira, from elementary and Pop Warner and junior high, and they all know each other. So that's going to be some great rivalries, as Dina was saying, you know, are going to be formed in this new league.
Guys, I can tell you that it is a 14-7 vintage leading American Canyon.
Okay, how much time to go in that one?
They're in the second half.
Okay. Now, we might mention that on October 3rd, the Board of Managers of the North Coast section will vote on that to make what we were talking about on that new league a reality. And talking to Gil Lemons, who is in charge of the section, he's the commissioner of the section, he told me that he sees no roadblocks. He said when they voted on it, it was unanimous vote. So he is saying that's a reality. But
well, it looks like it's going to go through. We'll know for sure in October.
October the 3rd is when that meeting takes place. Here come the Indians on the field. The Napa High Indians bringing out the football. They'll tee it up at the 40-yard line. Sending back deep for Rockland, Greg Benzel, the coach, puts Para over on the left side. And over on the right side, he's got Garrett Ruffner. They've also had Daniel Roberts back here returning some tonight. They've been keeping the ball pretty much in Napa territory. Let's see what happens here in the second half as Jose Acosta is going to be kicking off to start the quarter, and here we go. His kick sails down to the 5-yard line, fielded there, and brought back out by Parra across the middle, 25. He's at the 30 and brought down at the 30-yard line. One of the first tacklers, Eric Rasmussen, who's been a linebacker tonight, got in there and was able to wrestle him to the ground.
Along with Solomon Tennant as well. I tell you, that 33 is everywhere. I'm impressed with 33, Solomon Tennant.
Tennant is a senior, 6'1". So the ball is right at their own 30-yard line as the Thunder has the first down, and they have McBride slotting on the right side and a wing out on the left side. And the quarterback, Wyant, hands off. Going to the left is Brown. Brown is hit before he can make much of a gain. He made a little cut there as he tried to power over his left tackle spot and got 1 yard. Well, the defense is coming out here looking like they got recharged there in that halftime.
And, Ira, that was, again, they ran to the side where Solomon Tennant is, and he just forced that back inside, which gives that time for the support of the other defense to come up and make the tackle.
Second down, 9 yards to go. We're just underway in the third quarter of our game. Working from the shotgun, Wyant hands off. They work the draw play up the middle, and Brown did a good job of holding onto that football. They grabbed his arm, spun him around, and he held onto the football and was dropped at the 39-yard line, just a yard shy of a first down.
That was Trent Dawson with the tackle.
So at the 39-yard line, third down and 1 yard to go. Very wide right side is Jordan Daniels. He's a 6'2 senior. The quarterback hands off. They pick up a first down as they have Bladen Brown just powering right into the midsection. And that 3-5 just had a chance to collapse on him, but not before he could pick up that first down yardage.
Ira, see, it's really interesting. You know, Rockland has come out and gone away from the air so far in this second half, and they just marched up the field on the ground here, 3-4 plays in a row here. Let's see if they try to put the ball in the air here,
but
keep it on the ground.
What's that little pop pass? Of course, you have to have a pretty good tight end there unless you have a little slant on the play. Cade Wyant passes out into the right flat. It's complete to Ruffner, and then he is brought down after just a short gain. A couple of the Napa Indians got in there to spill him, Chase LaRue being one of them.
Right. Brandon Herter came up to really make the initial stop, turn it back in, and LaRue there to clean up. They just, you know, the defense, Ira, just kept Rockland off balance on this passing game. They're swarmed to the ball so fast.
Most of their passes have been into the flat area and not downfield.
Right. That was another bubble screen they attempted there.
Brown is the tailback, And he will carry the ball over the left side. There's a little opening. He gets across the 50, the 45. He's down to the 40, the 30-yard line. He's got a blocker there, the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5. Napa gives up, and he goes into the end zone. Well, what a run there by Bladen Brown, 6 foot, 210-pound senior, to get the first score on the board for the Rockland Thunder.
Slipped a tackle, the initial contact, slipped a tackle, then made a nice cutback against the grain, and he's
right up the middle on that.
Off to the races, yep.
Well, that's the way you diagram it as far as those blocks were concerned. They're going to go for two. They line up in the water pick. Napa has seen this water pick play. Now they shift. They go from the water pick alignment into a extra point attempt. And the snap. There is the kick. It is up, and it is good by Richard Purvis. And we're tied up now with 9.5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
So most of that, Ira, was on the ground. You know, they were in a little bubble pass, and the rest of it was on the ground. So the adjustment there at halftime for the Rockland Thunder has just come out. Let's run the ball against this Napa High defense.
Well, that was their one big play, too. You know, Napa had been containing them on short gains, but on that one big one like last week, Napa had those two big plays they gave up, a 60-yarder and an 87-yarder. And so they give up one here.
That was 70 yards total in five plays for Rockland. They took 2 minutes and 33 seconds off the clock.
And how long was that pass catch?
Oh, that run was 55 yards.
55, that's right. That was a run right through the middle. So they're going to be teeing up the football now. We're all tied up here with 9.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. The guy that just made the extra point, Richard Purvis, all set now, tees it up at the 40. Napa, see what they can do on a return. A good kick, soaring way back. That will go into the end zone, and just watching it sail in is Alex Perez de Leon. He was not going to attempt it. Of course, you can't field it in the end zone and return it in high school ball.
Vintage has increased their advantage over American Canyon 21-7.
Wow. Yep.
It's in the fourth quarter down there. Thank you, Charles.
Napa offense coming onto the field now, taking over 80 yards away from that end zone, going from the south towards the left, or from our right to our left here in this third quarter. Napa sending Christian Sanchez over the ball at center, the pistol formation, and the quarterback hands off, and a good cut there at the 25, getting out to about the 30-yard line is Brandon Herter. So he got almost 9 yards, I think, on that carry. A quick opener over on the right side, and Herter ran it very well.
Yeah, the nice read by Cortez where they set up trips right, Ira, and Herter, the left on the back, they just ride him, and then he either gives the ball or he keeps it and comes back, and that time he gave the ball. Great pickup at 9 yards.
On the trip, that's sending three wideouts to one side. And on this particular play, it's a single wideout coming to the left side, tight end over on the right side, full house backfield. And there is some movement in the backfield for Napa as Keola Frazier made some movement. And that false start will cost Napa 5 yards.
Chewy's trying to argue that they're drawn off sides, but the back jump, that's twice Napa's gone on a long count, and they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, there would have been a penalty against the other team had he not made his move.
Exactly, and this will drive a coach. Chewy's going to have gray hair if this keeps happening by the end of the season. These are the mental mistakes that are unacceptable. You cannot jump on your own count.
That moves the ball back to the 24-yard line. Instead of second and one, it's second and 6 yards to go now for Napa. 8.5 minutes remaining here in the third quarter. Sending Cameron Ross, who made a good catch earlier, out wide to the left side on this. And the quarterback keeps the ball, and he's dropped for no gain on the play. Nice shooting in there.
Gonzalez.
Yeah, Hunter Gonzalez, the 5'11", 185-pounder, just had nobody blocking him.
Yeah, that time Cortez, you know, he faked his motion back and kept himself, and Gonzalez was there just waiting for him. So here, Ira, this is what I'm talking about, the little mental mistakes. They could have had a first down. Backed them up to second and six. No gain. Now here they are in a long third and six again.
Just a reminder that we have to give a station break here in a moment, but we have Napa on a big third down play. If they don't get this way, they will have to punt. And Cortez is back to pass. He looks, he's got an open guy in the left flat, and his pass goes incomplete down the field, intended maybe for Fuentes. There are about three or four Napa players in the area. And out on the left flat area, Brandon Herder was jumping up and down saying, "Hey, here I am, I'm open."
Well, they're trying to set up the little bubble screen. It would have been, even if they would have completed the pass, would have had a lineman downfield and just couldn't get out there. And so now they're forced to punt. And this is all result, again, from a mental mistake. They cannot shoot themselves in the foot.
And here is a bad sign. Caden Cortez is limping. He is their quarterback. He is their punter. And he is out there limping. And there is a penalty flag that is dropped. And it looks like a personal foul called against Napa, or maybe something was said. But Cortez, in the meantime, is in pain. But I don't know if they have anybody else that can punt. They've got some backup quarterbacks. But, you know, that's not saying that he won't be in there in the next offensive series. But that penalty cost Napa more yardage, so he'll be punting from back inside of his 10. He just gets it away, and it's a good one. It'll bound at midfield, and it's taken at the 47-yard line. And that's about it for Daniel Roberts as he crossed midfield and was stopped at the 48-yard line in Napa territory. Here they are, back in Napa territory again.
Yeah, and, you know, Rockland came out and just ran the ball the opening drive of the second half. Let's see if they stay with it here. Napa needs to answer the bell here and just stop this drive, stop the series for Rockland.
Yeah, we'll kind of check the sideline, too, and see if they're administering it all to Cortez.
It looks like Cortez is limping on that left leg.
Yeah. There's the handoff. They go right up the middle down to the 40-yard line on a quick snap. And look like Purvis there on the carry? No, check it. That was Para.
Ira, they're just double-teaming Richmond there, Jacob Richmond, then leading the back up on back with the ball carrier behind him. They're just playing smash-mouth power football, saying we're going to come right at you.
So it was a gain of 9 yards on that play by Para. He's only a junior. Now they say it's 10 yards. They're giving him a first down on that, bringing the chains to about the 38-yard line. And Wyatt handed off as he took the snap, and not much, if anything, opened up for Para on that play. They tried a similar play to the earlier one, and it was stopped for a half a yard gain on the play.
Yeah, Kyle Watson in on the stop there.
Inside of 7 minutes to go, third quarter, 7-7 tie here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California.
Double tights again.
And Wyatt, the quarterback, hands off, and they power over the left tackle, and Para is close to another first down. They have found something in that line that they can work on.
Well, they're just playing smash-mouth football. They're coming right at them. That time they blocked down on the left side, pulled the right guard, right tackle, led up a back, and they're just playing power football. They're leading up with a back. So it's back on back. The fullback's coming up, laying a block, double-teaming the nose, blocking down and pulling the backside guard and tackle. And they're just coming right at him.
Charlie McBride is back in the offensive huddle now. 6 minutes to go in the quarter. Shotgun formation now for Cade Wyant. The junior quarterback takes the snap and hands off. There's a flag on the play. And there's another flag. And still holding on the ball is Damiano Para. He gets inside the 30, but that will be negated. I think there was false...
Two different flags here are in different parts of the field.
Yeah. Referee Ray Pulley is checking there with...
Hey, Ira.
Yeah.
It looks like Gunner Geese Shops is taking some practice snaps. It looks like he might go in as quarterback this next drive.
Well, that's interesting. He is listed as a quarterback. He's 6'3", 170 pound, and a junior. Geese Shops. He said, just call him Chef. They don't need the guys in front of it, so we can oblige him with that. Chef taking some practice, so thanks for that observation, Jacob. The penalties are being walked off against the Thunder. And that'll take the ball back out to the 38-yard line. And Napa has been on the field defensively much of this game, most of it in their own territory. Cade Wyant from the shotgun hands it off as they make a move, change directions, a spin move there by Parra, and he breaks it, the 25, the 20, and they tackle him from behind as grabbing the ankle was Roger Fuentes, saving a tackle, but again, breaking two or three tackles.
Ira, it's unacceptable. You cannot let this ball carry go. You had him. We had three guys on him, and they didn't finish the job, plain and simple. Chewy will be working this week on finishing tackles, finishing tackles, finishing tackles.
Well, they allowed 21-yard pickup on that play, and Wyant quickly takes the snap. They start the cut inside the 10, the 5, the 4, the 3, the 2, the 1, and a fumble. And Napa goes into the end zone and covers it. They're going to say it was down at the 1. Oh, I would question that. Wow. But
the ground caused a fumble there.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You can't do – I guess you're right. So that was a huge break error as Parra fumbled that ball at the 1 yard line. And it went into the end zone. It was recovered by Napa, but they said his knee was down there. They're putting it back out at the 2 yard line. First down, goal to go from the Napa 2 yard line. Cade Wyant hands off. They go right up the middle and just power their way in. Blade and Brown straight ahead. The defense tried to converge into the middle to stop him with that 3-5, and they could not do so.
No, Napa's defense, you're going to have to adjust. The adjustments were made by Rockland at halftime. We said we're going to come out, we're going to line up double tights, or we're going to line up tight in the wing. We're going to play smash-mouth football. We're going to bring a lead back at you and just play you stop us coming up the middle because here we come. And that's exactly what they've done, Ira. They got the backside guards, tackles pulling. You got a lead back coming up on the backer, leading the way. And they're getting 6-7 yards a pop.
Well, a bad snap, but they pick the ball up and place it down, and it's still good. So the kicker, Purvis, had to wait until Cade Wyant recovered the bad snap, and then he set it down, and it didn't matter to Purvis. He made the extra point anyway. Timeout, 4:40 to go, third quarter. It is now the Rockland Thunder 14 and the Napa Indians 7.
Well, Ira, just another quick update from American Cannon. We had a nothing-nothing shutout at halftime. It is now 21-14 Vintage over American Cannon with a little over 9 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Here's Purvis's kick, a short one, but end over end is taken at the 20-yard line, across the 25-30. And Napa is able to get the ball out to the 30-yard line on the return by Chase LaRue. Bumper LaRue is coaching, I think, both the JVs and varsity. Or we should say, not the varsity, the JV and the freshman team.
He's got double duty.
Yeah. He has a son on the varsity. But he has done so much with youth football, too. Just a never-quit guy, very devoted to his kids and to football. Napa with the ball now, 4.5 minutes to go in the third, and Cortese is back in there at quarterback. His pass is complete on the lateral to the right side, and they'll not make much of a gain on that as they tried to turn it in after the reception by Perez De Leon, but he was double-covered there and only got a yard.
Well, that time they faked the option up the middle, and then the Cortez started to run the ball, then pulled up and tried to hit PDL, but good discipline by the Rockland defense staying home there and making the tackle.
Look at him hobble back to the huddle.
Yeah, he's hurting.
He's not 100%.
No, he's hurting.
And they need him for punting and all, too, and if you have some depth at quarterback, there would be a chance to try him out because you don't want to injure Cortez any further. Putting Herder in motion, he'll take the handoff. He spurts the right side, the 35, the 40. Looks like he went out of bounds just about a yard shy of the first down territory. And that has been their story tonight, a yard shy.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ira, number 20, Herder's been their story offensively. He's just carrying the load for them.
But nothing longer than 8 yards.
Right, right. Now, if Napa goes for a long count again, they can get a first down if they just need to hold their water because Rockland has jumped every time.
The ball is right at the 40. They need to get out to the 41-yard line for a first down. It's a third down from the power eye. The tailback Herder carries, picks up a first down, spins away from one, and gets almost to the 45-yard line.
So good job there, Napa High offense, picking up that third down here.
Well, they're moving the ball back to the 44. It's still enough for a first down.
And Iris, someone's down. Looks like a big lineman.
Yeah, another Napa player. Well, I know that Jacob Grant will figure that out here before long, as Rob Brandon will be coming out and checking the fallen Indian out there at the 40-yard line. Well, we've got a lot of football remaining this season. Hope when you have a chance and it's not so hot, you come on out to some of the ball games. And this is the last year that Napa and Vintage are in the MEL, the last year for American Canyon in their SCA conference.
Ira, it looks like that would be Juan Loyola, the left tackle.
Okay. Finishing up, but it looked like Eric Castro from here.
54.
Yeah, Castro is a 5'11", 255-pound senior, and it could have been a cramp. Surprising that there are not more cramps.
You know, it was interesting. It looked like he really wanted to stay in the game, but, of course, he has to come out for at least one play there.
Well, it was a first down for Hatton, so it gives them a first and 10, and Hatton again, he loses yards this time. He was throwing for a big loss by Bladen Brown, who got in the backfield and pursued Hatton until he, or Herder, we should say, Brandon Herder, until he made that tackle.
Yeah, Bladen Brown read that play. I mean, these teams know each other from their scouting reports, watching each other on film. He recognized the formation, came up, and was just waiting for that little fly sweep there.
Dawson Trent checks back into that backfield as a fullback with exactly 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter, trailing it by a touchdown and an extra point. Napa with the football. And
Dawson Trent going down with a cramp.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
We saw this last week where there was a lot of cramping going on. That's exactly what Dawson Trent has.
That's Cameron Ross.
Cameron Ross. Those two remind me of each other.
Yeah. Well, they're both very active when it's out there on the football field.
And so that's.
But, yeah, as you said, last week was the first time that I remember seeing three players go down with the same type problem on the same play.
Right.
And this is another first as far as the heat tonight.
Yeah.
I've been broadcasting football for a long time, 42 years here in Napa, and this is the hottest that I can ever remember. I don't remember it even approaching this previously. Here come the Indians up to the line of scrimmage on second down and long yardage. The play action, quarterback is going to be sacked as Cortez did hold on to the football, but they grabbed him by the collar and slung him down. And that's not helping that little problem he has there with his legs.
And Cortez that time just was like almost in slow motion. He's coming off the field. He's hurt too.
Well, he's been hurt for quite a while out there.
He's getting the plays, he's back in.
Yeah, he's staying in there.
Well, that time he just took too much time. He's got to realize there's going to be pressure from the backside. He made the fake, stuck the ball in the belly of the running back, and then just kind of took his time and the guy coming around the backside got him.
Third down and a mile to go. Actually, 24 yards, but it looks like a long way here on third down back in their own territory. Cortez sets a bubble screen, incomplete. pass intended for Roger Fuentes broken up, and Napa will have to punt the ball, and once again, the Thunder will come out with a good field position and will take the ball into Napa territory for the start of their drive.
Now, you have Kanani Posey out there in the wideout. Last time that defender rushed the punter and left Posey wide open. I wonder if they picked that up upstairs.
We have a different punter, too, don't we?
That's still Caden. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. He does get off one. He's been getting some good rolls from it, and it rolls into the Thunder territory inside of the 40-yard line, down to the 38-yard line, a 32-yard punt on that. Well, the one thing about the way Cortese has been punting the ball, there have been no returns. So he punts away from the coverage, which is really excellent.
Absolutely. Just don't let him come back and have the opportunity for a big run back.
It's the net that you want to worry about.
I'm looking at Cameron Ross over on the sideline. He's still hobbling around. He needs to get some water in him to get back out here.
Well, inside of 2 minutes to go now in the third quarter, 14-7, Thunder with the lead, have a single setback here with the quarterback, and he hands that off to Parra. Parra gets about 10 yards before he is dropped near midfield at the 49-yard line. So,
yeah, going to have a flag here, Ira.
Okay.
It's going to be holding against Rockland.
So rather than having the ball near midfield at the 48-yard line, move it back, the line of scrimmage was the 38-yard line. So that 10 yards should take it back to about the 28-yard line. So Napa trying to hold here in defense, as that has been their challenge throughout this game, and we have that three-man front once again for Napa, and there is a whistle.
Rockland jump. They moved. Their left guard moved ahead. Another 5 yards, back them up.
Napa's fortunate now is that the movement has been backwards here for the Thunder in the last couple plays. So that moves the ball back to the 24-yard line. It is first down, but they have to get to the 48-yard line for a first down. So they need 24 yards as we have about a minute to go here in this third quarter. And Cade Wyant, the quarterback, puts man in motion. That's Ruffner. Rolls out to his right. Looks, now he's going to run with the ball. He's at the 30, the 35, and he is spilled there just as he crosses the 35-yard line by Eric Rasmussen, a linebacker.
Yeah, Eric Rasmussen did a nice job coming up making that open field tackle. So it's going to be about second and 11, Ira. Napa's defense looks tired out there. That's a big task here for him to stay on the field and bring the stop. Here comes Rockland up to the line of scrimmage. In the pistol again, Ira.
As they have a single setback, two wideouts on the right and one on the left. And the handoff goes to the left side to Parra. Parra across the 40, 45. He gets out just about to first down territory. Probably did pick up the first down at the 48-yard line. So it didn't take him long to make up that yardage that they lost on penalties.
Yep. And that time they double-teamed Solomon Tenen right there. They had a double team on him, got outside of him. Cameron Ross is trying to chase him down. He's back in the game.
Well, it is a first down, and they are still in their own territory, but just barely. They're at the Thunder 48-yard line. That'll be the final play of the quarter, as the end of the third quarter has arrived at Memorial Stadium here in Napa, California, where our score is the Rockland Thunder 14, the Napa High Indians 7.
Kent, Ira, in the first half, Rockland had 13 rushes for 35 yards. In the third quarter alone, they had 156 yards rushing in that third quarter alone, as the tide has definitely turned.
Yeah, Dino, again, at halftime, the Rockland coaches just came in and said, okay, we are just going to run right up the gut. We're going to send a backer, a lead backer, help out with the backside guard, pulling around with a lead backer, and that's exactly what they've done.
They work the draw right up the middle, little trap play, and they are working that successfully now and going outside and coming to across the 45-yard line was Brown, and Bladen Brown is picking up 8 yards, and they're just picking their spots now and getting some good gains.
Yeah, they're running at will. They're just double-teaming the point of attack and then bringing up a lead blocker. And they're just doing an excellent job. This is fundamental football right here.
But
double-team the point of attack, bring a lead blocker up on the backer, and let the running back make the cut and get good yardage.
Cade Wyant, the quarterback, takes a snap, looks, and he bluffs the throw, and he's going to run outside. Now he fires it down the field. He's got McBride open. McBride makes the grab, and then he is shoved out of bounds at the 11-yard line. Pushing about out of bounds was Dawson Trent.
That took a long play to develop. McBride on the right-hand side. So they faked the run right up the middle. Then Wyant tucked the ball away, acted like he was going to run, and then hit McBride, who was coming all the way from the right, back to the left side here. Nice pass, nice catch.
And a 34-yard pickup on the play. Last week, he passed for 249 yards and two TDs. There is a timeout that is called. And that's charged to Napa. That's their first time out of the second half. So we'll take time now. We're just underway in the fourth quarter, and the score is the Rockland Thunder 14, the Napa Indians 7. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the Internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. Jacob Grant is our sideline reporter. Dino Alessio with the statistics as we're into this fourth quarter by less than a minute and threatening to score the Thunder from the 11-yard line of Napa. They'll run to the right, and a good spin move after one tackle was missed, but another tackle by Tinnen was successful.
Yeah.
So Tinnen was able to make the stop after about a one-yard gain. They almost had him for a loss back there.
Yeah, LaRue almost had him pinned back there and just let him slip out. Back made a nice run, but then Tinnen was right there. Solomon Tinnen, I like that, 33.
Back into the lineup is Charlie McBride, the tight end that caught that big pass.
So another flag, Ira, backs up Rockland. Now we're getting a break there.
Yeah, the penalties starting to mount here against the Thunder here in this fourth quarter. Napa needs the help that they can get as they appear to be tiring out there on the line.
Yeah, fatigue is definitely a factor on Napa High Indians.
Wyant rolls, started to roll out of the pocket, and he is sacked. Well, they got back there quickly on him that time and were able to prevent him from getting a pass away, and that was Solomon Tinnen again.
Again, good defense, Ira. What they were trying to do, he faked to the right. They're coming back, setting up a bubble screen on the left. But the Napa High defender was right there. He had to pull it down, and then Solomon Tinnen came in, cleaned up on him.
They tried to set that play up so often in the first half on the right side.
Yep, yep. Now they faked the right, and it came back to the left there.
Wyant hands off, and the defensive line meets him right there. Even though he slips away from Frazier, he's met by several of the other Napa tacklers and gets just short yardage.
But that was a better job by the Napa High defense led yeah. by Frazier there on that particular play.
As Parra gets the ball to about the 33-yard line. Now Parra's coming to the sideline. Cade Wyant, the junior quarterback, has gone all the way for the Thunder. That quarterback, he's had a twin brother that's been in mostly on defense tonight. Two wides to the right, one to the left. Single setback behind the quarterback who takes a snap. Quarterback looks, fires. He's got a man open. The pass is complete to Roberts. Roberts down the sideline, the 20, the 15, the 10. He loses the ball, but fortunately for the Thunder, he loses it out of bounds.
Well, what a nice little play there. They had two receivers on the right there, and then Roberts came from the left inside slot position on a delayed drag. And great patience by the quarterback, Cade Wyant, to wait for him to clear out, hit him, and a nice gain, taking it down to 5.
First and goal to go. Well, Napa control.
Should be fourth. It should be first. The yard marker says first, but it should be fourth.
Okay, well, the yard markers.
Because they had goal to go.
Yeah, they had the goal to go.
So he's going for a field goal here.
Yeah, they're going to try a 22-yard field goal. The kick is up. It's no good off to the right. So they attempted a field goal that was unsuccessful. So Napa dodged the bullet.
Again, Ira, they just their defense is tired out there. But, again, you're right, they dodged a bullet. The offense just needs to put together a drive. Ira, 1 minute and 3 seconds left in American Cannon. Great game down there. Vintage on top, 28-14.
Well, looks like the Crushers are going to open the season with a victory. They'll be here next week, and we'll be here to broadcast the Vintage Crushers and Davis contest from Memorial Stadium. Napa travels to San Francisco. They'll go against Reardon High School. That'll be played at City College of San Francisco. High formation. Cortese. Long count. Hands it off as they look for running room for Trent. And Dawson Trent ducks down and gets out to about the 24-yard line. A pickup of 4 yards on the play.
We have a flag thrown on the far side of the field.
Well, we didn't have too many flags in the first half, but, boy, they're making up for it here in the second half.
It's against Rockland.
We're 9 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter, and Napa back in their own territory will get the benefit of the penalty to take the ball out near the 30-yard line, around the 29-yard line. Boy, I tell you, I don't know how Cortese has been able to stay in there as hard as he's been hit.
Yeah, he's played a good game here. He's definitely hurting. He's got some physical pain, but he's hanging in there. He knows he's got a job to do.
Well, you know that he's got to be good enough that the Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center representative, Rob Blandon, would not allow him to be out there.
Yeah, he's got probably some deep bruises going on. It's part of the game, Ira. You got to play hurt sometimes.
Well, he puts two men in motion going to the right, so it's an empty backfield this time. And his pass over the middle is broken up, nearly intercepted there by Squirrel. Sawyer Squirrel.
Yeah, two men in motion at the same time. You can't have that. A penalty against Napa.
Yeah. That was interesting to see them both start out on there. Then wait a minute.
Well, I thought they were doing a shift, and all of a sudden, it's obviously they're in motion.
Yeah, they'd have to stop and get set.
There you go.
And they did not do so. So it's a loss, taking the ball back inside the 25 to the 24-yard line. Napa coming out double wides to the right. They have setbacks there, two, one on either side. They give now as they swing out to the left side to Herter, and Herter needs to get out to the 30-yard line. I don't think he even made it the 25-yard line. But this was after the penalty had been marked off. In fact, he lost a yard from the finally spotting the ball down inside the 25-yard line at the 24-yard line.
Ira, the coaches from Rockland, they see what we see. They see Caden Hurt back there. They know he's no threat to really run the ball. They know he's going to hand off or throw. He's not really a threat to run on you know, faking the option and then running on the option keep.
He has one setback there as he pops one over the middle, and it is in and out of the hands there of Perez de Leon.
Again, a tough. That was a nice ball, just a little high, but again, that's a tough catch, but it's a ball that PDL needs to come down with, and he knows it. He's mad at himself. I can see it.
Those are the kind he was catching last year.
Yeah, exactly.
And even his sophomore year, right. He caught that big one against the Vacaville Bulldogs that won the game that helped Napa go on to three straight to MEL championships.
That's a couple times we've seen him now, last week and this week here, where it's up high over the hat. Those are the ones he's having a hard time with. The ones down low we saw earlier where he goes down, makes a baseball slide with a great catch. He needs to convert every time.
Cortese, as he takes the snap, there are flags that come out.
Napa jumped.
Yep, a false start against Napa.
Again, shooting themselves in the foot here. Make it third and 10, Ira, instead of, or 6 or 11 here instead of third and 6.
Very few penalties in the first half. A lot here in the second half, slowing down the tempo of the game.
And, Ira, you said earlier you could see the fatigue building up with Napa. It's both offense and defense. And it's their conditioning is not like what we're used to, because usually Napa High is dominating conditioning-wise in the fourth quarter, and this time it's Rockland. It's not Napa.
Yeah, that heat, I'm sure, is a factor. Napa's down by just 7, though, with 8 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter.
They jumped again. You got the left tackle moving again.
Yeah, over on that left side, Cortez is trying to get the cadence and the rhythm going there for that offensive line. But they have to get out to about the 30-yard line for a first down. And with that last penalty, the ball is inside the 14-yard line. So they need 16 yards here on this third down play. And Cortez with a trip set right, rolls out to his right, looks, fires on the run. It is complete to the 25-yard line to Perez de Leon. It's not far enough for a first down. They needed to get to the 30-yard line. That'll bring up fourth down and 5 yards to go.
Yeah, Cortez is just really hobbling back there. Jake, can you see him? I mean, he's hobbling on that foot back there.
He looks pretty roughed up. He got hit pretty hard after he threw the ball, and he's getting off the field, it looks like, right now.
Well, he's just going over there to get the play call. So he'll get that and come back into the huddle.
Personal foul against Rockland, and maybe roughing the passer.
Oh, that penalty will...
We heard Jake say he got hit pretty hard back there. They call it a personal foul.
The referee, Ray Pulley, still discussing with the other officials, Tony Karbowski, Dirk Pearson, Maurice Smith, and Barrett Cox. And they're calling about everybody in for the conference there.
To me, it looked like the guy who hit Caden took like 3 or 4 steps before he actually finished the hit.
Yeah. The right now, the officials want to get it right, so they are conferring. And, you know, the officiating's been good in this game. Nothing wrong with the officiating. The referee is coming over. Personal foul, and it is against the Thunder.
We can hear the fans from Rockland saying that the line of scrimmage is back at the 14, not the 19.
But that penalty gets tacked on to the play. So the referees are correct.
Well, they marked it off from.
Well, they're bringing the ball out to the 34-yard line. Now they're going towards the south end zone to our right, and they get a first down on it, and they have Ortiz back to pass. He fires, and it's out of everyone's reach. Perez de Leon was the intended receiver. Well, we've not seen too much of Sean Madigan. We did earlier, but not of late. He may have had some kind of an injury or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I thought I saw Madigan a little hurt there at halftime there, Ira, and I was wondering. I knew Estrella wasn't coming back, and Madigan was a big question mark.
Madigan is no longer in pads or dress.
Okay.
Yeah,
no.
The shoulder
for Madigan. No, too bad this was his first game of the season, too. The handoff, they try to swing out, and they can't make the turn there. Roger Fuentes was well covered by the defense.
Yeah, they can't run. You know, Napa trying to run east and west, and Rockland's just too quick there. Containment and coming up, making the tackle. They need to go north and south.
Well, their line seems to be much more fresh than the Napa line. Many of those going both offense and defense. Brandon Herter goes out of the lineup on this play. Fuentes goes out to the left side wide. PDL out to the right side. Rolling out to his left. The quarterback, he fires. And it is caught for, it didn't quite get to first down territory. But holding onto the ball, the Indians have Fuentes just shy of a first down. They're still in their own territory at the 42-yard line.
Caden Cortez took a big hit on that. So here's a big play for Coach Chuy Martinez. Fourth and a long two. Do you go for it with 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes left here? Looks like they're going to do it, Ira. Going to go for it.
It's a long two, and they have not had success in running the football.
He's going to have to burn a timeout. He's going to take too much off the clock here.
Yeah. They have two timeouts remaining. And
he needs to burn a timeout. He's
yeah.
going to get a 5-yard penalty.
Caden Cortez is over to the sideline. He's going to have to hurry up this. The back judge is counting down the time. He's about ready to throw. Now, Napa has to spend the timeout. The back judge, you could tell he was counting.
Yeah, and, you know, this is just the inexperience of, you know, being a new head coach. You know, you just wasted 30 seconds there that you may need later in this game trying to decide whether to get this play in or that play, and you end up burning a timeout. You should have burned the timeout right away and not burn off 30 seconds.
They have one timeout remaining. They have 6 minutes remaining in the ball game. They are trailing Rockland 14-7. Napa led at halftime 7-0. Taking their first lead of the season and getting their first points on the board of the season. Last week, Rockland Thunder scored 24 points against a very good Grant team of Sacramento. And if you've followed football in past years, you know that Grant is a perennial power.
Absolutely. The other Sacramento schools up there are tough. And that's why Napa and Vintage like playing these Sacramento schools in non-league action. It makes them a better team.
Well, I'll tell you, this Thunder team runs hard. And Napa, I don't know if they're going to run this or throw it, but they need 2 yards, and they're in their own territory at the 42-yard line. Putting Herter in motion. He spins away from one, spins away from another. Got the first down, the 45. Herter to the 50 and down to the 45-yard line. In Thunder territory, Brandon Herter picks up the first down and gets the ball into Thunder territory at the 45-yard line.
And Ira, that was all Brandon Herter.
Yeah, that spin move.
They had him wrapped up in the background and in the backfield, and he just slipped that tackle and put a gain on it.
He got 13 yards on the run and puts the ball at the Thunder 45-yard line. We haven't said that very much as far as the Thunder yardage.
Well, that's right.
PDL out wide right side, tight end on the left side, full house backfield, and there is encroachment.
And that's, you know, that's there. What Napa's been doing all night. By that time they held the water, there's an easy 5 yards.
Yep, they got the encroachment of the defense coming across on the cadence count. Not only did he get one, he got about that whole defensive line
exactly.
to
and that's
jump.
What you need to do, and they tried it 3 times before, but each time Napa jumped themselves.
That's 11 penalties for 84 yards against the Rockland Thunder.
Okay.
The ball is at the 40-yard line of the Thunder. The quarterback is under center now with the I formation, pointing out something now and handing off to the tailback Herter, and he is lucky to get back to the line of scrimmage. I tell you, the defense just really followed that ball there and prevented Herter from using any blockers out there, just shedding the blockers and getting right to him.
Absolutely. Ira, Rockland's defensive line's beaten Napa's offensive line to the punch. They were in the backfield that time.
Well, once again, it's great to have the Napa High marching band here. It always adds so much to a football game. Mike Riondo in his ninth year. Our congratulations to you for coming out. And Holly Schmidt and the Spirit Leaders also do a great job. Caden Cortez has gone all the way at quarterback as he hands off to his tailback, who squirts to the outside, the 40, makes a good move to the inside, but then comes to the outside, gets down to the 36-yard line, but there is another penalty flag out on the field.
This is a hold against Napa. That's what sprang him on that play. So this is what's coming back.
10-yard penalty there. Well, Napa has the ball. They're only down by 7 points. But they need to show that they can move the football.
And this is the drive, Ira. This is you can't turn the ball over. You can't turn it over on downs. You're going to have to drive down this 52 yards here that they have and punch it in. And you also need to start thinking about a two-point play if you're going to go for the win.
Well, they have to get down to the 35-yard line in Thunder territory for a first down. They have it at their own 49-yard line with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And Cortez is back to pass. His pass is caught down near the 40-yard line by PDL. They have to get to the 35-yard line, though, for that first down. So he's marking the ball back at the 42-yard line in Thunder territory.
See, just a quick three-step drop, release the ball, a quick slant there by PDL, and he picked up 7-8 yards. Good play.
So Napa on the attack now, but looking at third down. And a long 7 yards to go for the first down. Trip set right. And Cortez pitches it out into the right flat. And they look for some running room. And adding for the sideline and being tossed down is Roger Fuentes. I mean, they just grabbed him and slung him to the ground. I don't know if that's a word to use, but they just...
They had him stood up, and Garrett Ruffner came in and finished him up. So big fourth down play here. Another fourth and long two, Ira. They need to convert this to keep this game going.
Yeah, about a short three. They're at the 38-yard line. They need to get to the 35-yard line, and it's fourth down once again for Napa. Caden Cortez has the play from the sideline, sending Fuentes out far left side. And Herder is slotting out to the left, sending PDL out to the right side. A single setback as Herder takes a snap, rolls to his left, looks, getting rushed, fires, and shoots it over everybody. I think they had a little crossing pattern to set up. It didn't work.
They're trying to run a pick play out there, and they basically picked each other off. So over on downs with only 2:23, Ira, that's not good for Napa High Indians here. Rockley can just hold on the ball.
They have been very successful in the second half of running the ball. They were not so successful in the first half, but that has changed here in the second half.
Right. Now, you know, Rockley tried to go with their passing game in the first half. Was not successful, as you said, Ira, and came out and just ran the ball right down Napa.
The junior quarterback hands it off as they go over their left tackle, and that was Parra. His name is Damiano Parra, and they go by Dom sometimes. That's the short version, and that's what some of his teammates allude to him as Dom. Kind of a natural there. And it's spotted at the 40-yard line. They need to get to the 48 for their first down. The clock is a factor now as we're inside of 2 minutes to go. Napa has one timeout remaining. Rockland has all three of their timeouts remaining. So Rockland, which scored 24 points against Grant, is leading 14-7 against Napa. And Cade Wyatt fakes the pass and hands off, and they are stopped for no gain. Good play defensively there by
Jacob Richmond. Yeah. Jacob Richmond all over the place.
He's a little slow in getting up, too.
Yeah, he's played a great game. He plays on that nose tackle. That's two tackles in a row he's made.
Yep.
He's probably cramping up himself.
He's the nose guard out there. 6'5", 310 pounds. So it's third down. Napa spends its final timeout, so they'll not be able to stop the clock with a timeout. Napa used all three of its timeouts in the first half as well. We have a minute and a half remaining here in the fourth quarter, and there is a Napa injury down there.
So Napa's had a slug of injuries here. That's Jacob Richmond on the ground. Madigan went down. Estrella went down. Now we have Jacob Richmond, their big stud nose tackle, down. So yep. Injuries are plaguing the Indians early in the season.
I know Jacob Grant watches the play of Jacob Richmond. So what contact have you seen him in tonight there, Jacob?
By my count, I don't know what Dino has, but I have Richmond with 7 tackles. Do you have that, Dino?
No, you've got a stat we don't have.
Oh. Well,
I have my hands busy just keeping the offensive stats, Jake. I'm afraid I don't keep the defense. So if you could keep track of tackles, that would be great.
All righty. Well, I see Jacob has a lot of – he has 7 tackles according to my count. He could have more, and I missed it, but I don't know.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, he definitely had the last 2 in a row there. And he's just a stud on that defensive line there, as you pointed out last week, Jake. And,
well,
he, not making the tackle, he's stalemating him, standing him up, and letting the linebackers come in.
Yeah, they stand him up, and he's about a head taller than anybody else out there.
He's listed at over 300 pounds, 6'5". He's a big boy.
Yeah. And
that's kind of big boy that colleges will start keeping their eye on, too.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because they can put some more weight on that guy. He'll probably grow another inch or two, and that's big college football material there.
He might come back in after this next play because I see that he's walking fairly normally over to the sideline. He has to go out for at least one play.
And his play is really impressive for a first-year player as a senior.
Yeah. That's...
Well, there's a great example, Jake, of what you're saying, a first-year player of football. He's a senior. There's a kid, boy, you put him at a good junior college for 2 years, and he could get a full-ride scholarship after that to a big-time school.
Mm-hmm. Well, Napa had not been charged to the timeout until after the injury was off the field, so now they are charged with that timeout. So we're going to just take a quick break, and we'll be back here at Memorial Stadium in a moment. With a minute and a half to go here in the fourth quarter, it's Rockland 14 and Napa 7. Well, we're back here at Memorial Stadium. We'll check with our engineer back at the studio. When you have a chance, Charles, if you would see if we can get a final on that Vintage score. Vintage was ahead, as you mentioned.
I think the final was 28-14.
Okay, thank you. So the Chryslers open up with a victory, and will be here against Davis next week. 7 o'clock airtime for our broadcast on KVON. They were on KVYN tonight. The handoff as they go right side, and not much opened up there. Good job of the defense as Richard Purvis put his helmet down and just tried to drive for a first down, but he's going to be about 4 yards shy, and that's going to bring up fourth down. One of the players, not down, but was a little sluggish as he was standing up, but not enough for the...
Ira Rockland's just going to let this clock run down until they get a penalty, and then they'll back them up 5 and then punt the ball away.
Or they'll take a timeout there when it's just about time rather than take the penalty and punt the ball. It's going to be fourth down and 4 yards to go. We're in the final minute now, and the clock is running down quickly as it cuts off. They are taking their first timeout. They have 2 left. Napa has 0 timeouts left. So that timeout comes with 47.5 seconds remaining.
So now, Ira, as a football coach and broadcaster and player, do you bring the house and try to block this, or you try to set up a return? You have no timeouts, I believe, if you get the ball back. So call here.
That's why we have you in the booth, because not only are you a former player, a former outstanding player, that's what he tells us, and also an outstanding, that's what he tells us, football coach, that's why you're in the booth, so you can tell us what's happening.
Dino tells me, I believe Napa has no more timeouts. Dino, 0
they
timeouts?
They have 0, right.
I'm bringing the house. I'm bringing all 11 guys, and I'm going to block this punt right now.
Okay, well, we have Napa coming onto the field now, and they will...
They're setting up for a return. That's why I'm up here. I'm coaching.
Kalani Posey is dropping back inside of his 25, now back to his 20-yard line. The guy doing the punting is Charlie McBride, and he will drop back there to the 30-yard line, his own 30-yard line. And they put a man in motion going to the right, that squirrel. And the punt is off the right side of his foot, and it takes a... bounce down inside the 20 and is going to be down at the 19-yard line. 81 yards away from pay dirt now with just over a half a minute to go. That punt went 38 yards and no return. I don't think we've had a return on any of the punts tonight, and we've had quite a few punts.
I think you're right. They've kept the punt away from all the returners.
They have, both teams.
Yep.
Been impressed with Caden Cortese. He's gotten good rolls on his punts.
There have been 9 punts, and there's been 1 punt return of 5 yards in the game.
Okay, so that's sort of what we thought. I didn't even remember somebody trying to return a punt, but they got 5 yards out of it. All right, here we go. Napa with the ball. Ortiz takes the snap, rolls to his right, looks. His pass is complete to Herter. Herter at the 25, hit at the 30, dropped right there.
Herter need to get out of bounds. They don't have time. They have to spike the ball just to stop the clock.
Well, they haven't started the clock yet. There's the whistle. Now it started. And Cortez has a trip left side, and he rolls out to his left. He sets. He fires. And it's incomplete. Oh. Pass intended for Fuente. Now, they've gone toward Roger Fuentes quite a bit tonight. And Roger's not that that big of a guy. He's about 5'8", 155 pounds. But he's got good hands, they say, and some speed.
I'm seeing it. Okay, PDL's in. I didn't even see him, but now I see him. Well, if you have any trick plays up your playbook, this would be time to do it.
Yeah, and it's too bad that Sean Madigan was injured earlier, too. He was counted on as a primary receiver.
You really have time to get a play to the sideline here, about 15 yards downfield, get to the sideline, and then go for the home run after that.
With 22 seconds to go, Caden Cortez takes a snap, rolls left, gets a good block, starting to run out of the pocket, firing on the run and overshoots PDL. He was around midfield. That used 8 seconds off the scoreboard clock. Down to 14 seconds to go in the game. 14-7 the score. Rockland has the lead. Napa has the football, but they are deep in Thunder territory at the 31-yard line.
This is really where you just need to throw it up, Ira. 14 seconds. Might be able to get two plays, but if you get one play, you need to be out of bounds to stop the clock.
Fuentes goes out of the lineup for this play for the Napa Indians. Coming over to the right side is Cameron Ross. He had a big reception earlier in the game. Now he flip-flops, goes over to the left side at the hash marks. Cortez takes the snap. A bubble screen set up, and it's intercepted at the 20-yard line, 15-10, and a pick. Is he going to take it in there? He's running down. He's looking. Let's see if he takes it into the end zone. He does. As he was waiting for the clock to run out. And so they get the touchdown on the final play, an interception, a tip ball. And that will make it a 20-7 score. So no need to attempt the extra point. It's already in the W column for Rockland. First half belonged to Napa, particularly the Napa defense. They led 7-0 at halftime, and we'll be back to recap the entire ball game and get our comments and our players of the game when we return. Final score here at Memorial Stadium, the Rockland Thunder 20 and the Napa Indians 7. You're listening to Wrap Up Time on KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. This is Ira C. Smith along with Kent Fry. We'll get some comments from Kent Fry in a moment and hear from Jacob Grant, our sideline reporter this year, taking over from Mark McLeod. Big shoes to fill there. And Dino Alessio with his stats. Right now on the Memorial Stadium field between the 35 and 45-yard lines that's towards the south end of the field are the Napa Indians huddled around their coach, Chuy Martinez. And Kent, what do you think he's talking about?
Well, you know, he's probably telling his kids, hey, this is a, you know, you got to play all minutes of every quarter. And they played well the first half. And the second half, Rockland made the adjustments, Napa High didn't, and they didn't respond to the adjustments, which was Rockland came out for the first half of throwing the ball, came out and decided we're going to run the ball, we're going to pull a guard, we're going to bring a lead back up, a back-on-backer, and we're going to run it, and it's up to you to stop it. And Napa just couldn't stop it. They wore them down. They can't use injuries as an excuse, Ira. They were fatigued. They got out-hustled tonight in the second half. So it was a game of two halves. The first half, Napa played very well. Their defense was extraordinary, excellent.
They tired out, and yeah, the heat was a factor.
Yeah, and they just ran out of gas, literally ran out of gas. And what happened is, you know, all credit to the Rockland coaching staff making the adjustments at halftime and just coming out and running the ball. I was really impressed with the adjustments they made and you know, just outplayed them all in the second half.
Well, it was hot, I know, here in the press box. Let's find out from Jacob Grant how it was on the field of play.
It was pretty nice down on the field towards the end of the game. It was definitely hot, like it was up here in the press box at the beginning. But it was a good place to watch the game.
Okay, we need to let a guy get through here. He wants to go up on the roof there and get some the equipment down from the Rockland Thunder video area. So we'll let that happen. Dino, are you ready already? Boy, you are quick.
I am. So second half scoring summary, it was all Brown for the blue and silver of Rockland, as Brown scored on a 55-yard touchdown run with 9:27 to go in the third quarter. He scored on a 2-yard touchdown run with 4:40 to go in the third quarter, and he scored on a 23-yard interception return on the final play of the game. Purvis added the point after those first two offensive touchdowns, and after the final touchdown, there was no try. And so it was 20-0 in the second half for Rockland, and they win 20-7. Looking at the offensive numbers for the Rockland Thunder, their leading ball carrier was Brown with 94 yards on 10 carries. He rushed for two touchdowns. Para had 67 yards on 9 carries unofficially. Cade Wyant, the quarterback, 7 carries for 11 yards. Purvis, 4 carries for 14 yards. Altogether for Rockland, 31 rushing attempts, 188 yards rushing.
Dino, how many of those yards were in the second half?
They had 35 yards rushing in the first half, 153 yards rushing
Absolutely.
In the second half.
Yep, fantastic.
And there was my special stat of the game.
Well,
actually, I'll think of something for the Thunder. Cade Wyant completed 12 of 20 for 169 yards. He threw one interception altogether for the Thunder of Rockland High. 51 offensive plays, 357 yards. That's 7 yards exactly per play. Daniel was their leading receiver with 3 catches for 60 yards. Brown caught 3 for 18. McBride 1 for 34. Roberts 2 for 41. For the Napa Indians, the leading ball carrier was Herter with 56 yards on 15 carries. Dawson Trent had 8 yards on 3 carries. Caden Cortez, 6 carries for net 1 yard. Estrella, 2 carries for 6 yards. Altogether for the Indians, 27 rushing attempts, 68 yards. Passing, Cortez was 10 of 22 for 122 yards. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions for the Napa Indians. They ran 49 offensive plays and had 190 net yards of offense. Alex Perez de Leon was the leading receiver with 30 yards on 4 catches, including a 10-yard touchdown, although Herter actually had more yards, 53 on his 2 catches. Ross had 1 catch for 24. Fuentes, 2 catches for 15 yards. On the team numbers for the Rockland Thunder, they ended up with 11 first downs in the game, 7 on running plays, 4 on pass plays. They converted just 3 of 8 on third down and failed on their 1 fourth down conversion try. They did lose 1 fumble and an interception. They were penalized 84 yards on 11 penalties. For the Napa Indians, they had just 7 first downs, 3 on running plays, 3 on pass plays, 1 on a penalty. The Napa Indians converted just 2 of 9 on third down. They were 1 out of 2 on fourth down. And Napa was penalized 8 times for a total of 45 yards. And a little later, I'll have my special stat of the game, now that I have to think of a new one.
I was going to say we already had that. But this is where you might say stealing your thunder. But anyway, that loss 20-7. The game was closer than that looked like with the last touchdown going into the end zone after the interception on the final play of the ball game. And let's figure out now our player of the game. It looked fairly obvious, but it's never that obvious when you select somebody from the opposing team. But Kent wanted to lead it off. Who did you like
from the opposing team?
Yeah.
I like their quarterback. I really do. I like Cade Wyatt. He just shows a lot of poise back there. Even though he didn't score the touchdown, he made some great scrambles when he needed to. Directed the team. Mm-hmm. Was pretty much on target most of the night, but he just kept his composure. And he's still a young kid. He's only a junior, guys. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with Cade Wyatt.
You know, one of the guys that we didn't mention too much, but was their starting center and was a big factor in opening up some holes, has relatives here in Napa. Tyler Guidy is his name, and he's a big 6'2", 280-pound senior there. But Guidy has relatives. Maybe you've heard of Gracie Guidy. They used to have the beauty salon in Napa, relative there. But don't let that influence your vote. Okay, let's go to our guy on the sideline, Jacob Grant, now, and find out if he has a player of the game from the opposition.
I'm going to have to agree with Kent here on the quarterback for Rockland. But on Napa, I'd like to say that Caden, man, he showed some heart out there. He was playing through some tough injury. He was limping all over the place. So, you know, that showed a lot to me.
In fact, I was watching him there in the after the game scenario, and he was limping very noticeably. But when you can't add that to the other injuries. They're getting to mount up now. Sean Madigan had that injury earlier in the game. Isaiah Newton already had that contusion on his right hand, the top of his wrist. Isaac Castrillo out with that shoulder injury. And we had another guy that had a shoulder injury tonight. Which one was that? I don't remember that now. There seems like there were so many injuries and the heat being a part of a factor for that. Do you know who you like?
Well, for Rockland, I liked Brown. He scored all three of their touchdowns. He ran for 94 yards, also caught three passes. For the Napa Indians, I'm going to go with Brandon Herter, who had 56 yards rushing. And his longest carry of the game was 9 yards, but he was just consistently picking up 3 and 4 yards. And, in fact, would have had even a better total if he hadn't been thrown for a 7-yard loss on one play, which hurt his net yardage. But so Herter is my guy for Napa.
I thought Parra had a very good game, too. He was in there. He got the yardage when they really needed it. But I'll go along with Blayton Brown as far as their player of the game. He just had an outstanding game all the way through. He's a 6-foot senior. Now for Napa, anybody, Kent, particularly stand out in your mind?
Oh, definitely. And it's, you know, it's a defensive effort here. And, you know, Jake is right. Caden Cortez showed a lot of heart, showed a lot of courage. But for me, it wasn't the player of the game, but it's a Solomon Tennant, number 33.
Mm, good game.
All over the place on defense. I mean, all over. Standing guys up, forcing plays back inside, making the tackles. Playing his heart out. And, of course, you know, Jake Richmond, you know, he's always there. So, but to me, it was number 33 tonight, Solomon Tennant. He just stood out big time.
Okay. So let's go over now to Jacob.
I actually liked Dawson Trent from Napa. He had quite a number of tackles, at least by my count. He had 9 on his own solo tackles.
Wow. Well, I like the guy that they were keying on. And if I say keying on, who were they keying on all night? Brandon Herter. He still was leading rusher and had a couple receptions and all, and took a pounding out there. He was hit hard, but that's who I'll go with. Dino?
Yeah, Herter is my guy for the Napa Indians, although I do really want to praise the performance of Caden Cortez. He was limping out there, and in fact, towards the end, he came out to try that one final pass that was intercepted, and as he limped back to the huddle, he looked just like Joe Namath after getting his knee banged on all game long for the Jets.
Careful, Dino. Jake may not know who that name is.
Yeah.
And so I have now my second special stat, if Kent will keep his mouth shut for a minute. So let's look at total offense in the second half. So this was after a first half where Rockland had 140 yards to 124 for Napa, so very even. But in the second half, Rockland had 217 yards of total offense to just 66 for the Indians. And the Indians' defense had to spend too much time out on the field. And the defense is just playing stellar football, I think. They played well enough to win these first two games. The offense just has a few things to work out.
Yeah, you're right, Dino. They do. The offense has a lot to work out.
Well, Napa will, not next week, but the following week, meet another team from that Sierra Foothill League, the one that program is down a little bit like right now. You don't think of Nevada Union of being down, but they are in a tough league, and they will be coming in to take on Napa in 2 weeks on September the 15th, and we'll broadcast that game. This next Friday night, we broadcast Vintage High hosting Davis, 7 o'clock airtime on KVON and on the Internet. The Justin Sinner Braves next week will be hosting Bishop O'Dowd of Oakland. That'll be on our FM, KVYN. American Canyon will be home to Intercom, which is really strong, as usual. St. Helena will be hosting Kelseyville next week. Calistoga is home to Roseland Collegiate Press. Sonoma Valley opens the season next week. They haven't played yet. They'll be at El Camino in South San Francisco. Casa Grande will be home to San Marin. And Petaluma will be at Terra Linda in San Rafael. So we mentioned those other schools because they will be in the new league starting next year, and that will all be finalized on October the 3rd.
And one more thing, Ira, I almost forgot to mention the Saturday Sports Line program tomorrow morning. Dewey Green is going to be the show host as part of our rotating group of host. Dewey will be hosting, and he's going to have Troy Mott and his daughter Peyton Mott, who's a three-sport standout for Napa High, as the guests on the show, and that's from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. tomorrow. Dewey Green along with Charles Kennedy, and then of course Charles follows that up with the swap shop after that.
And that program is also repeated on Wednesday from 9 to 10, in case you missed it tomorrow. Well, it was a hot night that kept some of the fans away, but certainly you got to come out and see this Napa team. They are developing.
They are developing, Ira, and they face two good teams here. Their defense has played well. They have a lot of work to do on offense. There's no doubt about it. They've got to get their offense moving where they can put some drives together, sustained drives. Now, the other question that's going to be facing them right away now is injuries. They're plagued with some key injuries, about four key injuries right now, and that's going to hurt them. Vintage has gone through that for the last couple of years, so now it's Napa who's facing the injuries. So the defense played well. The offense, again, did not play well. They showed a few moments of playing well, but the offense has got to get together because, as we saw tonight, you can't expect the Napa defense to go all four quarters and keep you in the game like that, especially against a good team like Rockland.
Sports Vine tomorrow from 9 to 10 on KVON. Our thanks to our crew here tonight. Kent Fry with his excellent commentary. Jacob Grant, our sideline reporter. Dino Alessio with all of those stats. Charles Kennedy has been our engineer. I'm Ira C. Smith reminding you that it's all been sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. They're the ones that you hear their messages during the course of our broadcast. So thanks to them. Thanks to you for listening. And the final score here from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, the Rockland Thunder 20 and the Napa High Indians 7. This has been a KVON Sports presentation.